using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 23rd of April, year of our Lord, 2024. Well, today we're going to take a look at Earth Day, which was yesterday, and we're going to take a look at the long agenda of this, and what is Biden doing? He's really hanging his hat on destroying our energy supply, and destroying our mobility, and destroying our supply of meat and other things. We're going to take a look at how these two MacGuffins, the climate MacGuffin and the pandemic MacGuffin, are merging, especially on food. And then we have an odd story of a volcano that is spewing gold dust. Maybe this is why gold went down a little bit. But we've got a lot of really strange stories.
Television has done much to raise the level of weather prognostication. The addition of the weather girl has not improved the predictions, but she does make the mistake more enjoyable. Those of you in the Northeast sector can expect the weather to continue. I must warn those of you in the West that there is a cloud on your horizon. So, if this is a rain cloud, you can expect rain, perhaps.
Yet the gravity of the message of Earth Day still came through. Act or die. A good part of the effort to make this Earth Day a success was concentrated, of course, in the major population and pollution centers. We have a report on several of the big cities, beginning with Robert Shackney in Boston.
It had been a small and, it seemed, a thoroughly peaceful, non-disruptive demonstration. Students finishing Earth Day with what they called a die-in at Boston's Logan Airport.
Of air pollution, Chicago ranks close to the top nationally, which isn't much to sing about, but that they did at a mass rally in the Loop to mark Earth Day. Over 4,000 persons came to listen to the singing and the speeches, much less than what was expected. Among the recommendations to improve the environment, the establishment of pollution courts to quickly try offenders, and the elimination of the internal combustion engine, a suggestion no doubt aimed at purifying the city's often choking atmosphere. Mike Pappas, CBS News, Chicago.
Another speaker who vowed as a college girl never to bear children and who works now with Planned Parenthood, Stephanie Mills.
I think that it's terribly important for us to begin to involve ourselves in politics so that we can turn the system around.
You might remember that there was a period when, on the whole, Earth appeared to be cooling. Well, that changed. During the 80s, we had a much better, more precise representation of temperatures. Those data sets were scrubbed, and at least two groups were able to say, yeah, Earth is warming.
In the beginning of the summer of 1988, there was a big international conference held at Toronto, which was just one more in these series of conferences that the press hadn't paid much attention to. But it happened that the summer of 1988 was unusually hot. It was unusual drought. There was all kinds of bad weather things going on, and reporters converged on the Toronto conference and started to spend a lot of attention to it. And the Toronto conference final report said global warming is a really big problem and policymakers got to do something about it.
The weather in the Sonoita area continues fair, very fair. Now in the central portion, there's a low pressure area, which leads me to predict high velocity winds in the southeast and cloud formations in the east central section. Good night, until next time.
Oh, yeah. I like tic tac or tic tac, which we're going to ban according to the House. We'll talk about the constitutional issues of a tic tac ban. But it is a game, isn't it? And they have plotted this all out just like Hitchcock in his demonstration there. I remember the first Earth Day. I remember the theatrics of these people during their song, you know, the air is everywhere. I remember the data sets that were scrubbed. I remember the panic over changes in weather. And I told you last week about the diaries going back to the 1600s. Everybody, oh, we've never seen anything like this. I don't know what's going on. They weren't naive enough to think that they were the, or they weren't arrogant enough to think that they were the cause, or naive enough to think they were the solution. And yet that's where we are. And you notice that it was all centered around a cult of death. The theatrics of the die-in, where they got people laying in coffins. You got the woman up there saying, we got to get rid of kids and all the rest of the stuff. It has always been about depopulation and deconstruction of our society from day one. No energy, no cars, no movement, no people. Zero, zero, zero. Everywhere. Net zero. From the very first day. Babylon Bee, talking about America honors Earth Day by recycling used presidential candidates. We don't even talk about recycling anymore. That's so passe. Especially recycling of the windmills, which are not lasting very long, or the solar panels. Have no use for those. Most old presidential candidates get tossed in the trash can to be sent to the landfill to slowly decompose until they're forgotten and irrelevant. It's time for a new way, said environmental scientist Dr. Wayne Flurd. We couldn't be happier to see not one, but two former candidates being given new life despite being way past their expiration date. And I would add their toxic pollutants as well, their executive orders and the rest of this stuff. Yeah, you noticed how the guy says data sets were scrubbed. You know, we went from an ice age to the world is going to be boiling. Absolutely ridiculous. It was good to see that there wasn't much attention paid to it this year. But if we go back and we look at five interesting facts about the environmentalist holiday, which is what Christian Post headline says, and it truly is an environmentalist holiday. Remember, holidays, originally holy days. It's one of the things that kicked off the Reformation was the fact that there was this proliferation of holy days all the time. It's like, you got to close your business. Or you can, you know, give me some money and I'll let you stay open. Pay an indulgence and I'll indulge you staying open. It's like, really? It was this proliferation of holy days. Now we've got a new religion. And we have to, even the Christian Post has to kowtow before it, saying that's about promoting better treatment of the environment through public policy. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a new religion of depopulation and deconstruction of our society. Let's understand this, what it truly is. But they've got some five interesting things here. The first one was put together by Dennis Hayes and Senator Gaylord Nelson, who wanted to get the energy of all these anti-war people. You know, the Vietnam War was ending. How do we keep these people active and involved? I've got these useful idiots, and they're out there doing die-ins everywhere. And all that. Let's keep them involved. And that's really what the first Earth Day was. I remember shaking my head. I was in high school, and theatrics involved in all that stuff and the type of people, you know, dirty hippies. they wanted to take the energy of the anti-war activist. Now they want to take the energy of everybody and take it away, not promulgate it. It is kind of interesting coincidence that they chose April the 22nd, which is the birthday of Vladimir Lenin, isn't it? Since most of these people, and it was pointed out, were anti-capitalist, pro-communists, that they would do this big Earth Day on the birthday of Lenin, because it really is a form of Marxism in many ways. But I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Then it became global around 1990, about 20 years later, because so many times we have the issues of things that are being locked down. You know, when you go look at the other MacGuffin, the pandemic MacGuffin, or the MacGuffin where panic was endemic to everybody. Now, that was something that was birthed by the CIA and the American superstate, the real American government. And so these things are hatched by this globalist empire, and then they filter them out, you know, through the UN and other things like that. So this is another one of those. One of the major organizers of one of the biggest rallies in Philadelphia was somebody who later in the 70s killed his girlfriend. He was a college professor, killed his girlfriend, and then composted her. I guess the beginning of Soylent Green, right? Soylent Green is people. 2024, the theme is planet versus plastic. I got one word for you, Benjamin. Plastic. What? They want to keep all the oil in the ground, don't they? Yeah, we don't want to have cars or fuel or plastic or anything. Just keep it all in the ground. Other than our composting president, Biden, nobody seemed to notice. He made a big deal of announcing $7 billion in solar boondoggles. I'm sorry, grants that are out there. And then this article from Tony Thomas, climate change killed your pets. I really enjoyed this article. He calls this Professor Naomi Oreskes, who is a Harvard professor. He calls her a distinguished agnologist. That's our word for the day, agnologist. It is somebody who deliberately induces cultural ignorance. We got a lot of agnologists around here, don't we? Deliberately inducing cultural ignorance. And she certainly fits that bill. 10 years ago, she was saying that global warming would kill all of your pets by last year. They all died. You didn't know that, right? By 2023, she said in 2014, all the pets would be dead. And he points out, you know, smart climate alarmists, unlike this Harvard professor, smart climate alarmists usually don't pick short-term time frames like that. You know, you want to go to a period of time where you're going to be dead when people figure that you got this all wrong or you lied to them deliberately. You'll either be dead or you'll be senile and you won't care. But she made the mistake of predicting this. But nevertheless, she will not be humiliated. She is still being celebrated. She actually wrote an entire book about how the world was going to end last year. The book was titled The Collapse of Western Civilization, A View from the Future. Now, what this really was a death wish from her, because all of these people really want to see the collapse of Western civilization. As I said before, they want to deconstruct our society, our infrastructure, everything that makes us free and prosperous. And they want to kill as many of us as possible. So they do want the collapse of Western civilization. And that truly is what Earth Day and the climate MacGuffin is about. She wrote, the loss of pet cats and dogs. She's doing this from a perspective well into the future, which is where she should have located this. But, you know, this is way in the future, looking back at 2023. And she wrote this in 2014. The loss of pet cats and dogs garnered particular attention among wealthy Westerners, but what was anomalous in 2023 soon became a new normal. A shadow of ignorance and denial had fallen over people who considered themselves to be children of the Enlightenment. Well, she really got that right. It's just the wrong group that had the shadow of ignorance and superstition fall over them. These people in the universities who considered themselves to be children of the Enlightenment, they were the ones ignorant and in denial. They were the ones who lost their connection to objective reason and science and scientific method. Top environmentalist Paul Ehrlich forecast in 1971 that by 2000, see, he was a little bit smarter. You know, he picked 29 years in the future. She only went out 9 years in the future. He forecasts in 1971 that by 2000, the UK, quote, will be simply a small group of impoverished islands inhabited by some 70 million hungry people. Well, now we got 70 million hungry people being brought in with open borders. It's kind of like, if I were a gambler, said Paul Ehrlich, I would take even money that England will not exist in the year 2000. His 1968 book, The Population Bomb, predicted starvation would shrink the U.S. population to 23 million by 1999. And in her book, she hails him as a vindicated futurist. This is a guy who's so clueless, a guy who, you know, if Donald Trump had more gamblers like Paul Ehrlich, he might not have had all of his casinos go out of business. Or then again, maybe he would have run it into the ground anyway. It's amazing to me how these people get away with one false prophecy after the other. We used to only see this on the left. We used to only see it with the climate people, you know, with Al Gore and these other people, with RFK Jr. saying we're going to be out of snow in 10 years, that type of thing. They said 20 years ago. So we used to only see it with the radical left. But now we see it with a radical right. You've got Michael Flynn and these other people taking all these Trump prophets, usually women, around with them. People like Julie Green. And they keep predicting all these things that are, you know, Trump is still president. Trump's going to be reinstalled and all the rest of this stuff. And they don't pay any price for that either. Isn't that interesting? The radicals and the idiots on the left and the right never have anybody call them on their failed predictions. They just keep doing it over and over again. Why? Well, because it confirms what these people want to hear. People on the left want to hear all this climate stuff. The people on the right want to hear all the Trump stuff. They don't care if none of this stuff is true or not. In September 2014, she was interviewed in Australia, ABC's Science Show. One reader, she explained, started crying when the pets die. So I didn't mean to upset people too much. I just was trying to come up with something that I thought people wouldn't forget about. And I thought, well, Americans spending billions of dollars each year taking care of their pets. And I thought, if people's dogs start dying from climate change, maybe then they would set up and take notice, right? She wants you to set up and fetch for her. She wants to train you like a dog, and they have put out all their Pavlovian dog whistles about climate nonsense from the beginning. Just keep repeating it. Yes, not only because it's an animal, but because it's local. We're at local again, right? Think globally. They got their global plans, their global strategies, their global designs, their global timeframes, but they have to do it locally. Think globally, act locally. You need to understand what these people are doing globally, but you're going to have to stop it locally, wherever you live. And if you look at this and it's like, well, there's no way that's going to be stopped where I live. I live in New York. And get out of there. You can see where this is headed. It's local. You see, one criticism of the scientists is that they're always talking about global things. And so if you're looking at your village, why do these people keep talking about villages? You know, Hillary Clinton village, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I guess it's because they're village idiots that they're appealing to. Your village, your animals, your fields, your park, your kids. Scientists are talking about a small world. You know, then it makes a greater impact, doesn't it? Yes, it is a small world after all. they're taking you for a ride. Then in the Northern Hemisphere, summer of 2041, again, going back to the book, looking into the future. In the Northern Hemisphere, summer of 2041, unprecedented heat waves scorched the planet and led to widespread outbreaks of typhus, cholera, dengue fever, yellow fever, viral and retroviral agents never seen before. There we go. We got the convergence of the MacGuffins, the March of the MacGuffins. Dislocation contributed to the second Black Death as a new strain of bacterium emerged in Europe, spread to Asia and North America. In the Middle Ages, the Black Death killed as much as half the population in some parts of Europe. The second Black Death had similar effects. It is a cult of death. It is a cult that hates humanity, hates God, as a matter of fact. Just die, people, die. You know, this is their persistent fantasy throughout all of this stuff. What can we do to make the people die? And, of course, Paul Ehrlich, when he talked about it, he said, well, you know, we got to depopulate. He goes, disease would be great. But he said, you know, the best thing is war. We need more wars. Well, they're trying to oblige him, aren't they? So the host of that Australian program, instead of asking her what she's smoking, merely observe that all the above is, quote, fairly shocking. He further wondered why it is only Western civilization that collapses, leaving the Chinese in charge. Well, because that's the plan, isn't it? One reason, she said, is that Chinese civilization is more durable. And number two, authoritarian regimes are better able to deal with hypothesized climate apocalypses. So it is a hypothesized apocalypse. Yeah, epoxy their lips whenever they're talking. This is the same thing Trudeau said, right? What is your favorite country, other than, of course, Canada, which you know he's going to say? Well, I like China because they can tell people do whatever they want to protect the environment. I mean, they're on the same page. They're on the same page. All of these lefties, all these radicals, they want totalitarianism. And that's why the globalists gave the Chinese communists the economy. They transferred our manufacturing and everything else over to these communist fascists. That's the strange thing about them. You know, they use communism, but actually they're hyper-nationalistic, and they have merged government and industry, which are two characteristics of fascism. The Chinese are just as fascist as Hitler. And Hitler called himself a socialist. He was a nationalist socialist. But then so is China. They're nationalist, hyper-nationalist, socialist. You see, the labels don't really fit. And this left-right paradigm doesn't really work. Both of them are totalitarian. They don't want you to have any freedoms. So she viewed China in the early 2000s as a beacon of carbon enlightenment. China, she said, took steps to control its population. Isn't that great? Population control. Reduce it. And the people that are there, you watch them and tag them like animals, everything they do. And to convert its economy to non-carbon-based energy sources. Well, she got that wrong, didn't she? There is no economy on Earth that is more carbon-based. There's no economy on Earth that has as many power plants, as dirty, as cheap and dirty a power plants as China does. And that's their big advantage right now. These efforts were little noticed and less emulated in the West, she said, in part because Westerners viewed Chinese viewed Chinese population control efforts as immoral, because they were. And in part, you know, the one-child policy, and in part because the country's exceptionally fast economic expansion led to a dramatic increase in greenhouse gas emissions, masking the impact of renewable energy. Well, that's not true anymore. They are adding more power than the rest of the world combined, several times more, and doing it with the dirtiest stuff, and given permission, you know, under the Paris Climate Accord, which is supposed to address global warming. It doesn't apply to China or to India. And some of these true believers of this religion say, what's going on with that? By 2050, she said, this impact will become clear as China's emissions begin to fall rapidly. Oh, will they? Had other nations followed China's lead, we might have had a very different future, she said. Another interviewer, a very friendly one actually, played the devil's advocate. Well, just how much do you hate the American way of life? Asking this Harvard professor, holding court in Australia. What gives you the intellectual chutzpah to make these kinds of projections? Well, the book in 2021 was set to music by a composer. I will spare you the pain or the pleasure of listening to this, but I will let you get a taste of this. This is 2021, and you'll see four or five people that are in this so-called music. Pathetic. This is the dumbed down anti-intellectual music for the left. They got four or five people. They're spread out. Social distancing. It's 2021. And all masked up. Look at this. Isn't this pathetic? This is the dead and dying culture of the left, including its music. The music is called Climate Doubt. I doubt it's music, quite frankly. It has the low, somber insistence of the bass clarinet, a skittering flute that cranks up anxiety, and sonorous cello to hold things together, and the deep, doubting rumble of the double bass. Well, two of those instruments are wind instruments. So these people are blowing very hard. throughout the room. I don't think this mask is going to help those other people. At 65, her job title is Harvard Professor of the History of Science. No, folks, the truth is that science is now history, along with math and other things. You know, 2 + 2 = 5. We don't do science anymore. We do superstition. We do politics. She co-wrote her Civilizational Collapse book with a fellow alarmist, Eric Conway, and her other collaborators included, wait for it, Pope Francis, whose first thing that he did in 2015 when he became Pope was to talk about the climate. He lauded the climate. It's Laudato Si encyclical, or whatever, if that's the way you pronounce it. But, you know, it's all about the climate because he's all about globalism. She has listed as some of her honors a Stephen H. Snyder Award in 2016. As this writer points out, Snyder, who died in 2010, was a top climate scientist at the UN's IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change. This is a font of disinformation, spewing it out all the time. He urged his colleagues there to strike a balance between scaring the pants off the public and being honest about how weak the CO2 evidence really is. In a documentary that I played the beginning of the other day for you, they got a lot of people who used to be on the inside. They made a lot of money working with these organizations, selling climate lies and climate fear. But now they're retired and they can tell you the truth. They're pulling back the curtain. The Collapse book is about Western civilization's ruin while China saves the world with its enlightened anti-CO2 measures. And again, did they not pay any attention to the Paris Climate Accord? Do they not know what China is really doing? She is writing from the future in 2393, where she would be 435 years old. She is mad at that point in time, looking back at us because we refuse to build enough windmills to stop what she thinks is going to be an 11-degree warming period. The sea rising by 8 meters. We should not have eaten so many filet steaks, she said. Personally, I should not have tooled around in my little petrol Hyundai when Teslas were available at only $80,000. Well, that may be coming down. I guess, you know, I never suspected in 1970, foolish me, I never thought I could be the world's richest man by feeding the fantasies of these totalitarian climate dictators like Elon Musk has. And that's how he became the world's richest man. He did everything they want. He's right now, he's putting up a massive spy network to watch and to record every single thing that we do. But he's on our side, isn't he? He's Mr. Free Speech. Didn't he say free speech single-handedly? Well, I tell you, there's a lot of low-information people out there who really don't look at this shell game that's being played. She was talking about her Collapse book in Sydney's Writer Festival when somebody in the audience piped up, "Will you write fiction next?" Because she thinks this is not fiction. She said, "Well, all this is based on solid science. Everything in this book is based on scientific projections from the IPCC. Well, not even the IPCC people believe that, but she's maybe foolish enough to believe it. So she said in 2014, as she was holding court, she said it will also be crucial not to allow new forms of denial to take hold. So they gotta shut down anybody who denies their lies. We are already seeing examples, such as the false claim that offshore wind kills whales. It does. And that restrictions on gas stoves are the latest excuse by liberals to control our lives and deny our freedom. Well, that's true, too. Scientists will have to work with climate activists to block the spread of such misleading narratives. Well, if you're telling the truth, you don't need to be afraid of it. If you're telling a lie, you need to block anybody that denies your lie, don't you? It's just more validation. There's their knee-jerk censorship. And, you know, they're screaming, "I'm not hearing this. It's not happening." They're that type of attitude. It's just more confirmation of the fact that they're a lying bunch of ignoramuses. She finished her interview with ABC, that's Australian Broadcasting Corporation, by claiming that some readers of Collapse wished that her 80-page book could be longer. She just didn't want to use more paper, right? That was it. We didn't want it to be too depressing, and we didn't want to go on and on and on, like 300 pages of misery that really wouldn't be any fun. So we're sort of hoping that the book, despite the fact that it's a depressing topic, that it's actually, we think, kind of a fun read. As Tony Thomas says, apart from the dead kittens, that is. A fun read. Well, it truly is fiction. By the way, he's got a new book coming out. Anthem of the Unwoke. Yep, the other lot's gone bonkers. That's the title of his book. She said on Twitter, and of May of last year, when all this stuff was supposed to have happened, she said, "I'm often asked, what can I do to stop climate change? I'm often asked, what can I do to stop people like her?" You tell the truth. That's a hard question, she said, because so much of the change that we need is structural. But this new study proves one thing, all uppercase. Eat less beef. Well, when will she be made to eat crow? I don't think ever. You know, she is unashamed of the lies that she told and continues to tell. Few people have heard about Biden's climate policies, says CBS News. Even those who care most about the issue, you see the problem with CBS, the problem that CBS sees is that it's not what Biden has done with his executive orders, trying to destroy our society, ban everything. No, that's not the problem. It's not the problem that he's coming after energy, that he's coming after cars, that he is coming after our food supply, that he wants to starve, impoverish us, and lock us down forever. That's not the problem. The problem is he just hasn't told his people about all this stuff because they still love this, says CBS. President Biden made addressing climate change a key issue in his 2020 campaign. 3 years into his presidency, what do those who care about the issue most think about what he's done? How much do they know? Well, he has done a lot, unfortunately. He's done a lot of totalitarian banning and executive orders. Climate change is not the most important issue for Americans overall. It trails economic issues and other matters like crime and the open borders. They call it immigration. And they have a chart there showing what people say the top issues are. The economy is at 82%. Inflation, 79%. Crime, 65%. Immigration, 61%. Climate change is down at 45%. And then when you look at who thinks climate change is very important, it's nobody, really, except for the Biden voters and the Democrats. That's their point. If you look at the total, only 45% think that it's important. When you're talking about Biden voters, 69% of them think that it's important. So how can we get that information to the Biden voters to tell them how he is destroying our society? They overwhelmingly would prioritize protecting the Earth's climate over energy production. They're that stupid. They really are. It truly is amazing. And yet the interesting thing about it is that they broke it down, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And guess what? You look at the Republicans and the Independents on this climate issue, overwhelmingly against Biden. Maybe that's why he hasn't talked about it more. Because it is a losing issue with him, with the Independents, as well as with Republicans. You see, people, if they know what this stuff is, people don't believe this. They've been spewing lies and false predictions now for 55 years. And people have had enough of it. And they want us to sacrifice everything to them. That's why we need to keep shouting about this. But he's launched a billion-dollar climate work program, not just the $7 billion on solar panels, but he's created a youth climate corps. Youthful idiots. He launched the so-called American Climate Corps. He's thinking like a very, very old FDR. I guess he was a kid when FDR was around. The White House touted recent regulations blocking off 13 million acres of federal land and from future oil drilling, and revealed $7 billion grants in solar projects, basically putting them in northeastern states where the sun doesn't shine that much, because that's where his constituents are. So they're going to put their solar panels in places where the sunlight is the least, which is exactly because it's not about anything other than graft and corruption and payoff. Overall, the American Climate Corps will consist of 20,000 youthful idiots who will work in a variety of roles combating climate change. The positions generally don't require any previous experience or even half a brain. You'll get paid nevertheless by these people. It is the brainchild of Occasional Cortex and also now Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts, the guy who 2012 was telling everybody that more people are going to die from fine particulate matter coming from diesel than from cancer and heart disease. And at the same time, the EPA, he was interviewing Lisa Jackson, who was Obama's EPA director. At the same time, her EPA, and she was very clear. I'm not saying people are going to get sick. I'm saying they're dying from diesel fumes. What ludicrous nonsense. And yet, at the same time, her EPA, where I was in Research Triangle Park, her EPA was hooking people up to diesel exhaust, exposing them to 72 times the level that they said was safe, having already pre-selected people who had respiratory issues and heart issues. We tried to stop it. The group I was working with said this is they're not informing people about this is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. They're not informing people the risk that they're doing to them. Isn't it interesting how that predated all of this stuff that Trump and Biden did with the lockdown and pandemic? This whole idea that you don't get people's informed consent, that you kill them for your political agenda, whether it is hooking them up to a diesel tailpipe or, you know, putting a invasive ventilator down there, you know, intubating them. Or masking them up, you know, a heart patient that is having problems because of what you've done. So that's where we are with the climate issue. Unlike the Civilian Conservation Corps, which was implemented by FDR, in response to an authorization in law that was passed by Congress, the announcement of this program does not reference any legal authority, said to members of Congress, a couple of them who expressed concern. Do you think they'll stop it? I don't. You see, that's where we are. FDR was clearly violating the Constitution with his programs. He had no constitutional authority to do it, but he did get Congress to pass the laws. Now they don't bother to do that. They don't bother to infringe the Constitution with Congress. They just do it by executive order. Trump and Biden just do their own gun control by executive order. Biden does his own Civilian Conservation Corps by executive order. He doesn't need any laws from Congress. He just does whatever he wishes. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Well, yesterday I was talking about the F-35 program, what an amazing boondoggle it is, the most expensive weapon system we've ever had. And I had a listener, Mark, who I had the pleasure of meeting up at Gerald Slinty's Occupy Peace rally 3 years ago, I think it was. He said, and I mentioned the fact that the F-35 has, a couple of years ago, maybe they fixed it by now, had a problem, couldn't shoot its gun. many, many problems, one of many, many problems. He said there's only one version that has a gun. That is the F-35A, the U.S. Air Force version. They wanted a gun because they wanted to retire the very effective A-10 Warthog ground support aircraft. Yeah, that thing just takes a licking and keeps on clicking. Very, very effective, but I guess it's kind of ugly. It's not sleek. It's not modern. They don't like it. He says the A-10 is the best at what it does, but it's not high-tech enough for the U.S. Air Force brass. They've hated the A-10 for years, wanted to retire it for years. But the thing is, it works. They don't care about that. It's all about, the sexy technology of something like the F-35. He said, secondly, the high $2 trillion price tag for the F-35 is a cumulative life cycle cost. Yes, I talked about that for 64 years. And so he also points out, he says, so if you take something like, you spread it out over 64 years, he says, imagine computing the total life cycle cost of your car. You'll get the idea. And of course, Planned Parenthood does that to scare women into aborting their children. Do you realize how much this child is going to cost you to raise to the age of 18? But here's the problem, I think, on this F-35. They've got this planned out for 64 years. Do you think this thing is going to last for 64 years? Do you think it's going to be technologically obsolete in 64 years? I don't know how many planes are still around, from the 1950s, except for maybe the B-52, but I don't think that's in combat duty anymore. I think it's doing other things. But it's very rare, and of course, technological change is happening much more rapidly now than it has in the past. The other thing, too, even though you're accumulating the costs for training and spare parts and all the rest of this stuff, and doing it over a 64-year period, it also allows you to amortize these development costs, research and development costs, and all these other things over a much longer period. So you're simply looking at those amortized costs. It is the most expensive weapon system and the most complicated, and it has had the most problems. And I still think that it's we ought to give it to our enemies as a white elephant and tell them they've got to maintain it. But when we look at, is this the way that we want to go with our military? Highly complex and technological things. There is a place for that. But we're seeing now in Ukraine that that's not working out too well. As a matter of fact, if you look at the M1 Abrams tank, our premier tank, and supposedly the best tank in the world, and it may be, it's very expensive. It cost $10 million because money is no object to the Pentagon. It is our superpower. They have the Federal Reserve there to create, fiat currency so that we can rule by fiat, everything and anything. So we've got these $10 million drones. They sent 31 of them over, $310 million, and sent them to Ukraine. They held them back for quite some time, and then they put one out, and Russia put out films of it being taken out by a drone. They said, yeah, these expensive tanks burn just like the rest of them. And now you've got the New York Times talking about it even because so many of them have been shown destroyed. That's one of the interesting things about this war. The Vietnam War, what was happening was every night you had Walter Cronkite reading off the names of the American soldiers that were killed in Vietnam, and people were asking, why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this? Now you have Russia putting up the pictures of the American and German tanks and other equipment that they're destroying, putting that up on a regular basis. So the New York Times reported on Saturday, even, quote, one of the most powerful symbols of American military might is not invulnerable to the attacks of drones. They said in most cases, the tanks have been destroyed by first-person view kamikaze drones. So if somebody's remote control operating this, you know, using the camera, getting a feedback. So it's as if they were on the drone, first-person view. It's like playing a video game. They can fly this thing right to where they want to fly it. And they've identified very vulnerable spots on these tanks. These drones are capable of maneuvering before hitting their targets. In at least one instance, though, an Abrams tank was taken out in a duel against a Russian main battle tank, the T-72B3. The Russian military has published upwards of a dozen clips, mostly taken from drones, showing the destruction of U.S. supplied equipment. So I don't know how much of that is tanks, because they've shown a lot of these things, personnel, other types of things besides the tanks. But according to the New York Times, the tanks turned out to be, quote, more easily taken out by exploding drones than some officials and experts had initially assumed. The media outlet cited Austrian historian and military expert Colonel Marcus Reisner, who described the situation as, quote, unbelievable. The paper also described the Russian unmanned aerial vehicles, the drones, as, quote, highly accurate, low-cost tank killers. Their accuracy exceeds 90%, said the New York Times, adding that they are also capable of hitting heavy armor at its weakest spots. The UAVs can cost as little as $500, the paper reported, and they're capable of taking out a $10 million Abrams tank. The paper noted that there is no easy or single way to defend a tank against a drone attack. And so we have $310 million worth of drone tanks that we sent. 31 of the state-of-the-art, most advanced tanks that can be taken out. Each of these $10 million tanks can be taken out by a $500 drone, flown straight into its most vulnerable spot. And truly unbelievable, said the individual who reported on it. This is a kind of asymmetric warfare, isn't it? You know, where you have very cheap improvised devices, as we saw in Iraq, doing severe damage to people or to the equipment in a way that was not anticipated. Asymmetric warfare. For example, we go back the middle of the month, April 16th, the U.S. said over 90 missiles and drones were launched from Yemen over a 48-hour period at that point in time. Now, this was the attack at sea, and a lot of these were sent against commercial vehicles, and the U.S. Navy ships were there to defend those, but at least one of them was sent directly against the U.S. Navy, and they were able to take that down. However, this is another one of these asymmetric issues. They spend maybe millions or less in this kind of stuff because they have more expensive ones. We have to spend billions to stop them. That was the same calculus that the Israelis were talking about, this massive onset of 300 or 400 drones that were launched by Iran. 99% of them were taken out. There was really no damage done to anything. But the Israeli general said, yeah, but it cost us $1.3 billion, and these drones are not all that expensive. So it is kind of a duel against our superpower. Our superpower is this dollar that we just create out of nothing. But it does have consequences. I mean, the debt is snowballing, and the economic sanctions and other things that we've done economically, how long can we sustain that? That has been our strength. But of course, Biden has been all about destroying our economy, destroying our infrastructure and all the rest of this.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Secret of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive, that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy Is God given history in advance? Why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at Lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Well, I want to talk about the pandemic, or more specifically about the panic that they induced almost 4 years ago. The panic that is endemic and the panic that they want to keep pushing at people. They want constant noise about some unknown disease. And they want everybody afraid of gain of function. This is part of the fear campaign. This is one of the reasons why I push back so much against all this Wuhan stuff. That does several things. First of all, it excuses the Republicans and Democrats who locked us down, who killed us with a hospital protocol, who poisoned us with their injections. It takes all that away, then focuses it on China. Even when it's our gain of function in our lab. Oh, yeah, they'll talk about Fauci, but he's a safe target for the Republicans. But more than that, more than the misdirection and the red herring and taking everybody away, distracting them from their crimes. It's the same thing that Hillary Clinton did when her emails were exposed by WikiLeaks. Who leaked that? That became the crime. Talking about who showed the crime that she was committing. That was the crime. Who told you about that crime I'm committing? Because that's what she was doing. It was a crime. That was the key issue. And so that's what they're doing with this gain of function stuff. They always do this red herring thing. And now they keep hyping and hyping and hyping bird flu, disease X, this mystery disease somewhere. This is laying the foundation for the next one of these lockdowns. But the bird flu is especially heinous because I believe the bird flu is targeted toward our food supply. They've already killed untold millions of birds, required that to happen. They've already said in the UK that starting in September, because this is such an emergency, in 4 months, it's an emergency, right? So in 4 months, you're going to have to report to us all of your backyard chickens and all of your livestock and all the rest of the stuff. We're going to start keeping inventory. Because they, first of all, want to require vaccination for all animals to get it into us. Secondly, they will kill and prohibit any animals that are not vaccinated. They want to contaminate the food supply. And, of course, this is for profits because, you know, pharmaceutical companies can sell a lot more vaccine units. If you got to vaccinate every single chicken, well, there's a lot more chickens on Earth than there are people. Even in New Zealand, when we were there, there was more sheep than there were people in New Zealand. If they can vaccinate the animals, oh, well, make that mandatory. But it's a way for them to control and to shut down the food supply. So now they're saying, well, this current bird flu outbreak began in 2020. Oh, did it? So then it's not a problem, is it? Because we haven't seen people dying from it, right? And yet now cows and goats have joined the list. So they're going to start killing them in big numbers as well. It never ends because it is all about panic and fear. And we have people on the right doing this as well. For instance, on Zero Hedge, this article, Is There More to This Current Bird Flu Pandemic Than Meets the Eye? By Michael Snyder. Now, he doesn't talk about the fear and the panic that they're trying to do. Actually, he pushes the fear and the panic even more so, which is what Alex Jones and Mike Adams did in the spring of 2020 in order to sell their news, get people tuned in, and to sell storable food and things like that. Do they know something that the rest of us don't know? Is there some looming pathogen out there that's going to kill us all? This kind of fear is being pushed by the conservatives, who should know better, but because they're doing this for their own self-interest. Look, I can read the room. I know how to get big followers. You talk about Trump, you talk about things that scare people and all the rest of the stuff, and everybody follows you. You try to talk that down, either one of those. Oh, people don't like that. We've got to not help these people with their agenda. And when conservatives do this, it helps them with their agenda. So basically, he goes through this long article, and it was, again, reposted by Zero Hedge, recounting all of the propaganda from the World Health Organization. Be afraid. Be very afraid. We really do need to have a global alarm system to lock everything down when there is a burgeoning pandemic, or whether it's disease X, or whether it's a mystery disease. Oh, we got to be able to act on that right away. No, there wasn't a pandemic. There never was a pandemic, folks. They kill people with their hospital protocols that Trump paid them to do. And then they kill people with a vaccine. The vaccine is a bioweapon, so they want you looking at Wuhan. They don't want you looking at Pfizer. They want you looking at the Chinese communists. Bird flu vaccines are already ready for mass production, says Dr. Richard Bartlett, emergency room director, Texas Department of Health and Human Services Advisory Council member. One of these people locked us down. And so he's on with Children's Health Defense. And they're pushing the fear about gain-of-function research. And look, I think all these labs ought to be shut down. And we've known about this, again, for a decade. It was 2014 that Allison Young was talking about this in USA Today. And they actually, Congress actually told Fauci and Francis Collins, stop this in 2014. They didn't stop it. They went to Wuhan. They continued the research at University of North Carolina and other things like that. Surprised people when they found out about it. Then in 2017, when Trump was president, he reactivated all that stuff. Trump, let me emphasize this. Trump reactivated gain of function. He reactivated gain of function that had been shut down in the Obama administration. It wasn't because Obama was a good guy. It's because there was a lot of negative press about it. They waited 3 years. And of course, Francis Collins didn't stop. He continued on with that stuff. And then Trump reactivated it in 2017. And now you've got, the people who are supposed to be anti-vaccine and all the rest of stuff, Children's Health Defense, they're pushing this fear. And who is he going to? He's going to a Texas Department of Health advisory council member. One of the people who locked us down, told us to wear masks and all the rest of the stuff in Texas. You're going to ask him about advice? What's he going to do? He's going to sell you fear. He sold fear. He mandated fear. He mandated lockdowns. He mandated medical martial law. You're going to ask him about this stuff? Seriously? The purpose of this, folks, is to vaccinate all the animals. The purpose is to cull our food supply. The purpose is to gain centralized control. I'm sorry, your farm and your backyard chickens are not essential, and they're a risk to everybody else. You're not a good citizen. We're going to kill your animals. And you're going to get your food from a centralized food supply. We'll let you know when Soylent Green is ready. They want to kill our food supply, and they want to starve us. The New York Times reported that there's a risk that the virus could mutate and become transmissible between humans And the Daily Mail claimed a new bird flu outbreak could be 100 times worse than COVID. These are their sources. You're going to take what the New York Times says is a gospel truth about this kind of stuff? They lied to us about all this. And again, you know, we were talking about the New York Times and their assessment of the drones against the tanks. But hey, the videos are there. This is a different story. And it's the New York Times back to form. And then the Daily Mail, the Daily Mail. Oh, it's going to be 100 times worse than COVID. Oh, well, you know, anything the Daily Mail says, you can take that to the bank, right? Well, you can take it to the bank if you're one of the pharmaceutical companies for sure. The H5N1 strain of bird flu has now been found in milk, says the World Health Organization. Well, I guess that means we need to kill the cows, not just the birds. We've got to kill the cows. It's in the milk. And they're asking all this stuff. How long can it last in milk? Is it a threat to humans? Oh, yes, it is a threat to humans. The story is on Barron's, but it's coming out of the AFP. Mainstream globalist news. How long the virus can survive in milk is unknown. So be afraid. Be very afraid. You see, in the Netherlands, they're just going around and telling the people, you're going to close your farm. And we're going to give you a little bit of money for it. Take it by eminent domain. And you have to sign an agreement that you will never farm again anywhere. They just do that in the Netherlands. Here, they've got to use fear. Here, they have to have some kind of a rationale to close all the farms and to kill all the cows. And so they're starting to do this with bird flu now. Cows and goats joined the list last month. I just read that to you from another story. These people are following a script. It's just like when Yale put out, here's how we tell people they got to take an untested vaccine that's experimental, that's never been done before, that messes with your genetics and all the rest of this. Here's what we do. You got to do this to love your neighbor. You got to do this because it's a miracle from God. You know, this is, it's like the moonshot. And you need to do this because your vaccine isn't going to protect you unless everybody is vaccinated. All of these types of things. They put all that stuff out. And then you had Christian pastors pushing that kind of stuff. You had mainstream media pushing it. I mean, they all went through these, you know, it was about 12 or 15 different lies that you could tell people. And they get to choose, you know, multiple choice. And you can use multiple lies to tell people. That's even better. And so now, you know, you got this prescripted stuff. Cows and goats just joined the list. A surprising development for experts. They were thought not to be susceptible to this kind of influenza. Oh, really? U.S. authorities earlier in the month said a person working on a dairy farm in Texas was recovering from bird flu after being exposed to cattle. Well, I guess that means it's settled then, right? Do you remember in the 1970s, swine flu? And do you remember that Mike Wallace, who actually did journalism, I didn't agree with everything they did. Sometimes he got it wrong, but at least he was a lot more honest, and it was before the companies were owned by the pharmaceutical companies. And he did that long expose about the fraud of swine flu. And he interviewed one woman who had been crippled for life with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And she said, I saw that, you know, it was news everywhere. And Mike Wall said, yeah, we did it on our channel as well. All the news covered this. We found our first human case of swine flu. And look who it is. It's a young soldier. And the whole thing was a lie. It was a complete lie. There were three soldiers that were sick, very sick with the flu. Two of them were allowed to stay where they were. This third guy, they told him, no, you got to get out there and drill with your unit. So he goes out and drills with the unit, and he collapses. And then the drill sergeant who was with him gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, all this other kind of stuff. He died, I think, but the drill sergeant didn't even get sick. The other guys who were in the infirmary with him didn't get sick. But the way they played it up in the media, we've had the first case of swine flu, and this is what the lady who was crippled, she said, look, I'm older. I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, well, You got a fit soldier who's in his 20s who died from this. I guess I'm really at risk, right? They play that. Oh, you're old and you're infirm. You're at risk. You better take the vaccine, which crippled her. And killed some people. But at that point in time, they exposed that. Now they're telling us they've got the first human case of bird flu. Do they? How did they test this stuff? Did they use a PCR test? When Fauci, and this is the war that Kerry Mullis had with him, Kerry Mullis invented the PCR test. He got a Nobel Prize for it. And he said, you can't use that like Fauci's using it. If you ramp up the cycles and you magnify it, you can find anything. And so what did they do this time around? Well, they waited until just after Kerry Mullis died. And then they ran the PCR test, ramped it up to magnify things 1.1 trillion times, and they could find anything, anything they're looking for. And he had gone everywhere, challenging Fauci to a debate, said, you cannot prove that AIDS is caused by HIV. You're going out there and you're using your PCR test and you're finding HIV and you're saying, well, that's what's causing the AIDS. Because I don't think that's what's causing it. But whatever is causing it, you can't prove it by how you're misusing my PCR test. They can find anything, anywhere, in anybody or any animal with a PCR test. So don't be afraid about the fact we're supposed to be afraid now this thing is somehow evolving, gain of function on its own, naturally evolving. It's going to cows and goats and humans and all the rest of the stuff. The case in Texas, the first case of a human infected by avian influenza via a cow. And this is information coming from the World Health Organization. Don't believe a word of it. Don't believe a word of it. They have a different agenda, a sinister agenda. Dr. Merrill Nass is saying the WHO's pandemic plans are built on lies and misdirection. And that is always the case. And we're getting lies and misdirection right now. And why? You want to talk about gain of function? Let's talk about who gained from the pandemic lockdowns. It was a massive transfer of wealth. And now we're starting to see a lot of the fraud. Corruption so rampant that billions were lost in a mammoth COVID fraud. Well, they weren't lost. They went to somebody else. It was billions of dollars in wealth that was transferred. It didn't just disappear. You know, it didn't like a Bitcoin somebody lost a disk drive to or something, right? Let me look in the dump. Let me try to find my computer in the dump. It's got my Bitcoin in there. It's like worth millions of dollars. I'll pay you millions of dollars if I can find it. No, can't do it. It wasn't lost. It was transferred to other people, transferred fraudulently. But the sad thing about it is that this article from WND makes it all about Biden. Yes, Biden continued and expanded those programs, but it began from the very beginning with Trump. And I've reported to you the guy that saw how this thing was set up. He worked for the government. He called his friends in the government. He said, you can't do this. This is from day one. It's going to just be, you know, awful. The fraud that said there's absolutely no controls on any of this stuff. And they said, well, we haven't lost any money with it yet. He says, you haven't even started giving out any money yet. What are you talking about? I mean, they knew what it was going to do. They knew it was going to be a massive transfer of wealth. That's what this stuff is all about. It's about transferring wealth, transferring power. That's what you should be afraid of. You should be afraid of the WHO. You should be afraid of these, of this medical martial law that is there and nobody's talking about it. And you should be afraid of the fact these people got away with mass murder. We'll be right back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Well, I got a very kind correction from a listener, Patricia, about remdesivir. And I'm always happy to make a retraction when I'm wrong. In this particular case, I think there's a little bit more involved here, though. Now, let me read you what she had to say. She said, remdesivir kills people primarily by damaging the kidneys, not the liver, which is what I reported, which causes fluid to back up and to flood the lungs. This gives them the death diagnosis of COVID pneumonia. I know this because I did some research after they killed my dear friend with it in our little rural hospital. I love the way you repeat certain very important facts like you do with remdesivir, but please look up a few articles on it. Headlines are all you really need before you repeat that it kills patients by damaging the liver. She's very kind, says you're my most quoted personality. So I went back and I looked, and you know, I looked at this and was like, did I get this wrong again? I always would report remdesivir kidneys, remdesivir liver, and it was like, and I was always second guessing it. And I would have an article there that would say it, and it seemed to me like, but didn't I say that it was caused by the other one? So I did a search, not as she suggested on remdesivir damages organs, but I did it on remdesivir liver and remdesivir kidney. And guess what? I found a lot of articles, scientific studies for both. Now, I don't know which one is a greater risk, but I know that they are both a big risk. Both liver and kidney function destroyed by this drug. And it is not uncommon for a lot of these pharmaceuticals to attack the liver, because the liver has to try to filter stuff out. And a lot of these toxins that they give us damage the liver significantly. She's talking about when it goes for the kidneys, it causes the fluid back up. They label that as COVID pneumonia. But that's the thing about remdesivir. It's killing people with both of these things. That's why the nurses would say, run, death is near. And so I appreciate you sending that to me, because it had been a thing. I kept looking at, was it liver or was it kidney? Was liver or kidney? It's like, did I get that wrong again? It's both. It's both. This is why it was never approved for AIDS when Fauci tried to do it. It's why it was never approved for Ebola. And it's why it was never approved for COVID until he released his document a week after there'd been a Chinese study released on the WHO world, WHO website. And that got removed that same day after a few hours. A week later, Fauci released his non-peer-reviewed study that also did not show that it helped people, and also showed that it had a very poor safety profile. But what Fauci said was, he said, yeah, but the people that survived, they got better 30% faster. So this is your new standard of care. Yeah, $3,000 or $4,000 each. No problem. It's great. Great stuff. You'll love it. And so, yeah, that was it actually does both. So thank you for sending that to me. I think we need to understand liver and kidneys. Maybe kidneys more frequently than liver, but it attacks both. And it does nothing. Does nothing to help people. You know, the standard of care, the standard of approval of a therapeutic is, do people get better? And even Fauci's non-peer-reviewed study did not show that. Everything about this was fraudulent and a lie. Looking at some other emails from listeners, this is from Stacy saying, would you consider matchmaking? And this is not just in the last week or so. I had somebody else send me something, sent me a picture. They said, you know, you'd mentioned in the past that your sons and your friends, friends of your sons had talked about, you know, where'd all the Ent wives go? You know, they joke about that, you know, looking for girls that want to get married, want to have kids, you know, more traditional type of thing. And she said, you know, I've got a daughter and had a beautiful daughter singing and, you know, things that she did with her church group and stuff like that. You know, I would like to help people with matchmaking. I just don't know really how to do it. There's privacy issues there. And quite frankly, I'm not very good about matchmaking. I wasn't very good at dating either. I was very happy to meet Karen when we were 18 years old and didn't have to really worry about that. It was an awful experience. And it really is a difficult thing. And I really do feel for people today, because our society is absolutely crazy and dead set against marriage. And especially women, you know, more so than men, not wanting to have kids and so forth. So, you know, I feel for people. I just don't know. I've got so many things on my plate. I really can't do it. But I'll tell you, if somebody out there wants a business doing that type of thing, there are a lot of people who could really use the help. And I wish I could help. I just don't have really any wisdom in putting together relationships like that. And I don't really know how I would go about it, frankly. Also from Jason Barker and Serge the Purge. Serge has been traveling around. He's done a couple of different documentaries. They got one that's going to be coming out on Thursday. And they sent me a trailer. They said, please let us know if you'd be willing to show the trailer for a release on Thursday. I didn't contact them. I'm sorry. I apologize, guys. He says, I'm reaching out in regards to an important documentary I just did with Jason Barker on life in rural Missouri. This is probably my best work so far, in my opinion, and insinuated me traveling across country to film it with him. In the documentary, we explore the Ozark and local culture while discussing life away from the city and the true meaning of redneck and dispelling the stereotypes that urban America tries to portray. Here's a little bit. Here is the trailer for this documentary that Serge is going to be putting out. And again, you can find him on Twitter. And he doesn't have a link for if he's got a Substack or something. But Serge, if you send that to me, I'll tell people about it before you guys release it in 2 days. But here's a trailer in advance.
You can see we had a tornado come through here.
Man, is that like scary though, having a tornado just like right in your backyard?
Yeah, it's kind of freaking weird, man. So Uranus started as a chicken wing place and a strip joint. So the people in you know, that live here didn't like the idea of having a strip club. So this guy actually created his own zip code.
I think you guys are innocent.
We have
water is like crystal clear. I don't know if you can drink it, man.
This is all spring fed, crystal clear waters. But look, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you got to know about. Like, I could totally ditch my truck, walk back there. You would never know I was living there. I got a river to fish, crawdads, I got squirrels, I got rabbits, I got deer.
Sure.
And then I got a place to cook it right here. People out here are preppers, bro.
Are you one?
I mean, to a certain degree, yeah. This is what Missouri is all about right here. A couple little stalactites kind of forming.
Well, you're saying you want to dispel the myth of redneck.
Yeah, us being a bunch of backwoods people, you know, rifle thumping, gun toting. I mean, we're responsible people, you know?
But there are misconceptions about Missouri, though. Like, ignorant.
Redneck is someone who fishes and hunts and goes deer hunting and all that good stuff. The hillbilly is kind of someone who sits up on the porch playing the fiddle. And
so you're a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
I guess I'm more of a hillbilly than I'm a redneck. I had somebody that we met about 15 years ago in North Carolina. He was a retired Navy SEAL. And he was saying, when it hits the fan, he said, I'm not going to take up arms and do anything with it. He says, I'm going to walk into the woods and disappear. You'll never hear from me again. You'll never see me again. It's like, and I know how to do it, that I can live off of the land indefinitely. Well, that's a great way to prepare. And it's one way to escape a lot of the stuff that we see coming that we're going to talk about here as well. Again, that's coming up on Thursday. That's Jason Barker and Serge the Purge talking about prepping, talking about rural life in America, and something that, who knows, could save your life. We have, over the weekend, besides the Unicrane party, the Uniparty coming together to support war everywhere for every reason, everywhere with all of our money, never-ending war everywhere. They also came after TikTok. This has been a key thing for them. I don't know what libs of TikTok is now going to do if they shut this thing off. Where's she going to get her material? But it is everywhere. It really is. And so where does this usurpation end? Do they have the constitutional authority to do this? No, they don't, as a matter of fact. There's a good article on Reason talking about why they don't. But the House of Representatives has now passed a bill to flaunt the Constitution, just as they don't care about this country one way or the other. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about defending this country. It is an empire mentality. As a matter of fact, we need to do a some kind of a Photoshop, or because maybe AI won't do it. The AI is getting to the point where it won't do political figures, unfortunately. So we're going to have to brush off our Photoshop skills. See, that's why you should never lose any skills, because AI can do it for you. You always got to keep current on those things. But I think the perfect way to draw Speaker Johnson now would be to go back and do you remember Darth Helmet from Spaceballs? It's Rick Moranis wearing the glasses and everything. I mean, he does bear a certain resemblance in both physical appearance and demeanor to this mousy guy, Speaker Johnson. He comes in and he's doing the heavy breathing and everything, and he pulls it up and goes, I can't breathe. I got to get this thing off of me. So I think we ought to be able to Photoshop Speaker Johnson's face inside the giant Darth helmet thing. But, you know, that's what he's become. You know, he is the Darth Vader of the Empire striking back now. That's what Johnson has become. And so they want to ban TikTok. I don't care about TikTok. I care about the principle. I don't use TikTok. I've never had TikTok. It's always looked stupid and snoopy to me. It looked like it was trying to grab stuff, and I didn't want to use it. I don't need the Congress to ban something like that. And I don't need them to usurp powers that they will use for other platforms. How long is it going to be if they ban TikTok before they ban Rumble, for example? Oh, well, you know, it opposes the government. That's enough reason to get rid of it. Oh, it's hateful. It doesn't like trannies. You're intolerant of homosexual marriage because you're Christians or what? Oh, you got to go, right? That's what they'll do. The bill goes far beyond TikTok. It could be used to justify a ban on all sorts of popular apps. All they have to do is claim that it's got a you know, tie to somebody that they don't like. And it doesn't have to be a foreign country. Look, the FBI is going out all the time looking for extremists. As a matter of fact, you know, Speaker Johnson, little Darth Helmet, was rubber stamping the government spying on Americans and extremists. As I, you know, had an interview last week about the people that were caught up in the FBI scam of entrapment for the Whitmer supposed assassination thing. They can get anybody and they can get any app. So the, as a matter of fact, you go back and you look at, I think it was 2013. We had the Army War College posited the idea that people in Darlington, South Carolina, with their John Deere ball caps, decided that they wanted to have no more to do with the federal government and they're seceding. And so how do we do this? You know, we got a war here. How does the military handle these people and attack them for that? And at that time, and it really stood out as being an absurd idea back in 2012, 2013. Oh, well, these conservative rednecks in Darlington, South Carolina, they're allied with Russia. Now, that is one of the first things that they accuse people of. All their political enemies are allied with Russia. Well, they had already been trying out that narrative with that, and it was a ridiculous narrative at the time. But, you know, is this going to blow back on American companies? Will China say, well, sorry, can't have Google, can't have Facebook, can't have YouTube, can't have Spotify? You guys are all tied to the American intelligence community, to the CIA, the rest of the intelligence community, the NSA. You're all spying on people. Spying on Chinese people. So we're not going to allow your corporations in here with your apps. There's multiple ways in which this legislation violates the Constitution, says Reason. The most obvious one is the First Amendment, free speech rights of Americans. But it may also amount to a bit of an attainder, a law that punishes a specific person or entity without trial. And those are unconstitutional. It may also violate the Fifth Amendment, as Senator Rand Paul noted in a Reason article last week. Paul thinks the Supreme Court will ultimately rule it unconstitutional because it would violate the First Amendment rights of over 100 million Americans who use it to express themselves, and a rule that forced sale violates the Fifth Amendment. Now, the Constitution, the government cannot take your property without accusing and convicting you of a crime without due process. Oh. Wow, that's good. That means that civil asset forfeiture is unconstitutional, and it is. Right? That's what I've been saying all along. Why doesn't Reason mention that? I mean, they do a lot of articles on civil asset forfeiture. Why doesn't Rand Paul mention that? The taking people's property, whether it's their house, their car, their money, their plane, we've seen this for the longest time. It's been going on for about 40 years, this scam. It grew out of the RICO statutes that Giuliani used to make his career as an attorney, I think he's district attorney. I don't think he's a New York attorney. Anyway, he used it as his prosecutor. He built his career on RICO statutes. And now they're trying to put him in jail over RICO statutes. Isn't that interesting? What goes around comes around. You support unconstitutional, tyrannical methods. You use it to build your career. And guess what? They just might use that to lock you up. Your political opponents might do that. It wasn't long after Rudy was using it for the mob that they started using it against pro-life protesters. They went after Randy Alcorn, who had been at an abortion rally, you know, protest at a Planned Parenthood. And they won a judgment, $8 million judgment against him. A Christian author, very successful, writing fiction, writing also other books like The Treasure Principle, which I highly recommend. He said, God... you know, Jesus spoke a great deal about money. It's not something that you ignore, but it's about understanding where your real treasure is. Excellent, excellent book. He wrote another book about heaven, but I really think that The Treasure Principle is an excellent book. And but, you know, he took all the royalties and he gave them away. Gave them away for the 20-year period that Planned Parenthood had for their judgment. He lived on minimum wage. He disassociated himself with the church, no longer became a pastor. He wrote, but he gave all the money away for 20 years because he wouldn't let them get a penny. But that kind of RICO statutes then metastasized as a cancer and a civil asset forfeiture where they charge inanimate objects with crimes. Are they going to charge TikTok with espionage. They will U.S. government versus $9,000 in cash. U.S. government versus Learjet serial number, blah, blah, blah. U.S. government versus home at an address. Oh, I'm not charging you with a crime. I'm not saying that you did anything. And so they don't have to get a conviction, and they do it civilly. That means that it's a bureaucratic rule. They say, well, since these are bureaucratic rules and they weren't passed by Congress, you don't have any due protection because these are not laws. This is the kind of stuff that they were pulling on us with a lockdown. Well, this is a rule. It's not a law. I can make rules, rules that I can dictate to you. Laws have to be done by elected representatives, but I'm going to dictate rules to you, and they're not going to have the presumption of innocence. They're not going to have protection against excessive fines and punishments. They need to talk about that. And the bottom line is that this just keeps growing, right? It grew out, the civil asset forfeiture grew out of RICO. Now, out of civil asset forfeiture, they're going to start banning websites and applications and things like that because it was never stopped. We have to stop these people when they cross the line, or it just keeps getting worse. It encourages them. You know, they move the boundary onto your property. They move their fence onto your property. You don't do anything about it. And they say, that's my property now. And then they move it again. Keep doing it. Paul's point brings up an important and often overlooked factor in all this. No one has produced evidence of any specific legal infractions committed by TikTok. Where did they break the law? You got an example? You got it. Have they even been charged with the crime? No, they haven't been charged with the crime. But of course, you know, civil asset forfeiture, you don't need to charge people. You don't need to get a conviction. Where have the people running TikTok committed a crime? There's no accusation of an infraction, let alone proof of an offense taking place. There's a lot of speculation about what TikTok could be doing, but that's the only thing that's there. This is a very dangerous idea, and Speaker Johnson is a very dangerous man who does not care one whit about the Constitution. He's a lawyer, of all things. We expected better. You know, he had a conservative voting record. He had, as a lawyer, defended people against unconstitutional attacks on the freedom of religion. That's really where he kind of hung out. The guy has completely gone native in Washington, D.C. It truly is amazing. The U.S. military could hit troops with court martials if they refuse to use preferred pronouns. Isn't this amazing? Will Johnson do anything about that? No. No, they'll keep funding it. I have people staring at me and basically asking, are you real? Well, if you don't use their pronouns, you'll be the one kicked out of the military. So they turned everything upside down. Remember MASH? You had Corporal Klinger. He wanted to get out of the military. He didn't. He was drafted to be in the Korean War. He wanted to get out. So he's wearing a dress all the time and trying to get a Section 8, trying to get declared crazy so he could get out. And they said, well, we all know that's just an act. We're going to ignore that. But now what has happened is in this crazy military, if you don't use the pronouns of Corporal Klinger, you get thrown out. It's a game of let's pretend. And that's how crazy this has become. You're not allowed to say 2 + 2 = 4. You are required to say 2 + 2 = 5. If you do say 2 + 2 = 5, they'll give you high fives. But if you say 2 + 2 = 4, you get drummed out of this military. This military has now become Corporal Klinger and worse. And it needs to get Sectioned 8. Yeah, that's what the people who are giving it money ought to declare the military crazy and say, sorry, no more money for you. The military could seek to formally punish service members for refusing to use another service member's preferred pronouns under existing policy. A 2020 equal opportunity law. Let's see. Who was president in 2020? Oh, that'd be Donald Trump. A 2020 equal opportunity law opened the door for commanders to subject someone who refuses to affirm a transgender service member's so-called gender identity. They could refer them to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. See, we don't have to worry about the transgender stuff if Trump gets in, right? Well, Trump was pushing trainees for beauty contests when he was running beauty contests instead of running the swamp. And then when he was there in charge of the swamp, as king of the swamp, We got a 2020 Equal Opportunity Law to apply the Uniform Code of Military Justice for charges related to harassment. Captain Thomas Wheatley, an assistant professor at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, told Daily Caller. He said the military, quote, is right to want to protect the rights and the welfare of its transgender members. This is a guy teaching at West Point, and he's the most conservative of them. It's like, no, you need to get rid of the corporal clingers instead of putting them in charge. You need to get rid of the corporal clingers instead of making everybody else bow and scrape to them and play their crazy games. I'm Napoleon, you know, I'm Mrs. Nesbitt, said, and said Buzz Lightfeed. Anyway, he's wrong about that, but this is what his opinion is. And he contacted Daily Caller because he thought, okay, well, it's fine. Let's just live and let live. We got these trainees here, but if I don't use their pronouns, should I get kicked out? Because that's the position now of the military, position of West Point. This is negative world, as some people point out. Negative world for Christianity, where Christianity is viewed in a negative way now. For the longest time, all the way through the history of this country, it was viewed in a positive light. People would aspire to it. Then we had a very short period where it went neutral. And now, if you're a Christian, that is considered to be a negative thing that must be punished. You got to be kicked out of the military if you're a Christian. Universal Code of Military Justice, or Uniform Code, also prohibits conduct unbecoming of an officer, an activity that could be seen to discredit the military institution. The same article the military uses to prosecute child pornographers and other acts of sexual deviance, he explained. But you see, now, this new military thinks that if you're heterosexual, that's deviance. That's the new definition of deviance from this federal government. It is now unbecoming and incompatible with service as a commissioned officer to openly hold sincere religious convictions surrounding the act of creation and the nature of sex. So, if you are a child pornographer or a sexual deviant, you're okay. But if you're somebody who has a religious conviction about traditional, you are the problem. You are the deviant because we've moved the Overton window. Wheatley said his interest in the issue was sparked 4 years ago when the Army updated its policy, stating, quote, violations of MEO and harassment prevention and response policies may result in disciplinary action under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The possibility of levying a criminal trial on a service member for perceived harassment if that person misgendered another service member troubled him, he said. And so that's why he went to the Daily Caller. Meanwhile, the Ukraine party decides that they're going to go ahead and give billions to Ukraine, even though Seymour Hersh points out that the corruption in Ukraine is so rampant that the CIA director reportedly warned Zelensky to stop stealing so much money. You know, people might notice. You guys are just stealing too much. What do you think you are, the Pentagon? You know, Pentagon can steal trillions. You guys are stealing hundreds of millions. Yeah, you got to stop this. So that's, again, Seymour Hersh has his sources. And remember, this is all predicated. Several months ago, Zelensky went through and he did a mass firing of a bunch of generals. And it was typically portrayed at the time, well, yeah, they're losing the war. This is another indication of the incompetence. Well, no, actually it's an indication of the fraud and the theft that is involved there. You had many people say, I think it was Bill Gates said the most corrupt government on earth. He said years ago before this, all this stuff started, everybody's stealing everything there. You had people who were talking about the military aid that's been going to Ukraine since we initiated the coup in 2014, which started the civil war where you had the Ukrainian government shelling on a constant basis the civilian population in Donbass, and they were saying, people who were supporting it said, yeah, you know, we're sending them all these weapons and everything. It's just going into the black market. And it's still that way. President Zelensky was very pleased, however, with Speaker Johnson, just his kind of guy. I'm grateful to the U.S. House of Representatives, both parties, and personally thank Speaker Mike Johnson for the delusion that keeps history on the right track. Oh, I'm sorry, he said decision. Yeah, it's a delusion to think that you're on the right side of history. Seymour Hersh recently reported that CIA Director Burns, Smithers, what are you doing? had to warn Zelensky to stop stealing so much money. Here's what Seymour Hersh wrote, and he's got a lot of good inside sources. And he goes with what he believes is true, regardless of whose ox it gores. He said the issue of corruption was directly raised with Zelensky in a meeting last January in Kiev with CIA Director William Burns. This is a year and a half now out. His message to the Ukrainian president, I was told by an intelligence official with direct knowledge of the meeting, was out of a 1950s mob movie. The senior generals and government officials in Kiev were angry at what they saw as Zelensky's greed. Yeah, it's like, you understand, you got to dip your beak, right? You know, but you're just you're taking it all. So Burns told the Ukrainian president because, quote, he was taking a larger share of the skim money that was going to the generals. Burns also presented Zelensky with a list of 35 generals and senior officials whose corruption was known to the CIA and to others in the American government. Zelensky responded to the American president 10 days later by publicly dismissing 10 of the most ostentatious officials on the list, but doing little else. The 10, so he got rid of 10 of the 35 generals. The 10 he got rid of were brazenly bragging about the money they had. They were driving around Kiev in their new Mercedes, said the intelligence official to Seymour Hersh. Zelensky's half-hearted response and the White House's lack of concern was seen, said the intelligence official, as another sign of a lack of leadership that is leading to a total breakdown in trust between the White House and some elements of the intelligence community. Maybe they didn't mention that to Speaker Johnson when they gave him that super special top secret briefing, right? Does he get like a decoder ring or something like that? Like, you know, the early toy stuff. Yeah, you got your Red Ryder decoder ring ready? Okay, let's go, Darth helmet. We got this special super secret. Look, it's stamped top secret and everything. And you see these little letters under there? Do you know what those mean? That means it's even above top secret. Not too many people get to see this. Now, here's what it says. Get ready. Hersh went on to note that one estimate by analysts of the CIA put the embezzled funds at $400 million just last year. Just last year. $400 million a year, not cumulative since it started. At least, he said, at least $400 million. Another expert compared the level of corruption in Kiev as approaching that of the Afghan war. Well, why would that be approaching the same level? Is it like the same people running both of these things, the Pentagon, who every audit they've had, they fail? Trillions of dollars missing there, but, you know, it's gotten to the point now where this has become standard operating procedure. Nobody's looking over their shoulder to see if an incoming missile is going to be hitting the Pentagon at the accounting office, which is what happened on 9/11. Although there will be no professional audit reports emerging from Ukraine, guess what? But remember, the first rule of sending money to corrupt Ukraine is you don't talk about how corrupt Ukraine is. That's right. The Publica team. How you know the Joker is running things? We're talking about how corrupt this country is. You know, yesterday I talked about the fact that Speaker Johnson, I'm supporting Israel. That's my, you know, that's my religion. And we have an admonition that we have to support Israel. I said, well, you've also got an admonition about corruption. You got an admonition about not rushing to shed blood, about constant violence and no peace and all the rest of this stuff. We talk about constant violence and crime. This is the stock and trade now of these politicians. The Democrats and the Republicans are starting to buy into it as well. And so you have the federal government now coming after Sheetz convenience stores. This is a pretty big chain in the East, accusing them of discriminating against minority job seekers because they refuse to consider applicants who have a criminal record. Karen used to be a personnel manager for a large chain of convenience stores. And that, you know, that was one of the things you were allowed to ask. You couldn't ask and nobody would tell you why if somebody was fired. You couldn't ask and they couldn't say because they might get sued. And so you'd say, I'm verifying his employment history here. Is he eligible for rehire? No? Okay. Well, that tells you something right there, right? Do things like that. But you were also, of course, able to look at their criminal record. That's an objective fact. But now Sheets is going to be charged by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. On April 18th, last Thursday, they announced they'd filed a lawsuit against Sheets, accusing the convenience store chain of having discriminatory hiring practices that target minority applicants. According to the lawsuit, Sheets has maintained a longstanding practice of screening all job applicants for records of criminal conviction and then denying them employment based on those records. See, that's horrible. Isn't that racist? These are people, by the way, that the government said committed a crime. The government is the one who said they committed the crime. And Sheets is just looking at what the government said. The EEOC is accusing Sheets of, quote, disproportionately screening out Black, Native American, Alaska Native, and multiracial applicants. But again, these are people that the government convicted of crimes. This is despite the fact that the lawsuit does not allege that Sheets' hiring practices were motivated by race. An unconscious bias. Well, this is where we are now with DEI. You hire criminals, you hire thieves to run your cash register, or else we're going to come after you and shut you down. The federal government. The EEOC filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland after first attempting to shake them down and blackmail them. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pre-litigation settlement is what they say, right? Come in with strong-arm tactics against them. And said, well, no, I'm not going to hire criminals. Must be shown by the employer to be necessary to ensure the safe and efficient performance of the particular jobs at issue. That's what they're saying. Well, these Biden people are crazy. And the bottom line is, if you're saying that it's disproportionately people of one person group or something, then I would say, since you're the ones who convicted them, then maybe the racism is on your part, if there's any racism. Why don't you look at your division first, right? Are these people actually guilty? If you say they're actually guilty, then they're guilty. But if you're locking people up based on their skin color, then the problem goes back to you, doesn't it? So it's either your problem or it's not a problem. If they're real criminals, we shouldn't have to hire them. If it's some kind of racism that's involved, it's your racism, federal government. So you do something about that. Elon Musk is the one who said, you know, the Joker's running things. When the law-abiding people are being prosecuted by the government for not hiring criminals. And he says in his tweet, insert the Sheets pun here. I guess this is where the Sheets hit the fan, right? Or the feds are three Sheets to the wind. I think that is... we should be locking up criminals, not laundry detergent. Yeah, we have to lock up everything because people are not being prosecuted for any kind of theft. So everything, even laundry detergent, has to be locked up. But let's not only let these people steal as much as they wish, but then if under some freakish circumstances the government bothers to convict them and imprison them, well, then you should let them run your cash register. First, the government's going to let them run free. Then they want you to let them run your cash register. Mayors of California's three biggest cities have rankled some of the progressive activists in recent months by joining a wave of fellow Democrats renouncing the once popular initiative to defund the police. Let me just say something about this. Hiring more police is not going to be the solution here. The police are not the ones who are turning people loose. This is coming from the district attorney, right? This is the courts, the judges that are turning, that the police are locking these people up or are catching them. And then the courts refuse to convict them, refuse to lock them up. The district attorney refuses to prosecute them. You got the Democrat politicians who say, well, we're not going to treat it as a crime if somebody steals less than $1,000. That's where the problem is. The problem isn't that you've got too few police. And if they hire more police and they keep these same policies that they've got at the courts, at the district, keep the same district attorney and all the rest of the stuff. If they keep those same policies, it doesn't matter how many police you've got. It doesn't matter how many people they apprehend. They're going to be turned loose by these same people. Then what are the police going to do? Well, they'll start writing tickets because the city likes it when they write tickets. They don't like it when they arrest people for committing crimes against us. But if they can allege that you violated one of their policies and make some money from it, that's what they'll do. That's why these Democrat governors are doing it. It allows them to virtue signal to the electorate that sees everything going downhill, sees their cities being deliberately destroyed. Well, okay, we'll hire more police now. And yet they'll keep the same people in charge, turning them loose if the police bother to lock them up. And of course, after a while, the police says, what's the point of grabbing these people? They're just going to turn them loose. That's really the issue on Rockfin. Audi, good to see you there. Audi Modern Retro Radio. Thank you so much for the tip. I really do appreciate that. A quick thought about the U.S. military says, it is well past time that we stop pretending that we're the good guys. We're not. Yeah, I would say so. And when we look at the policies and what has happened with all of this, at some point you got to say, I'm not going to be the enforcement arm of these crimes. And that's what these wars are. These wars that Speaker Johnson, half of the Republicans, nearly half of the Republicans, and all of the Democrats are supporting, these wars are wrong. But it's now coming back on the military and the way of vaccine mandates, way of getting them kicked out. But thank you so much, Audi. Again, Modern Retro Radio. The IRS commissioner has indicated that AI is going to play a growing role in the future of tax collection. You thought the IRS hiring 80,000 more people was bad? You thought the IRS growing by a factor of seven times bigger than it is today? You know, that's what Biden wanted to do, Pelosi wanted to do. Then you got Kevin McCarthy, and he goes, oh, we're only going to grow up by five. And it's like, get that guy out of here. So they put in Speaker Johnson. He goes back to growing it by seven. Give Biden and the Democrats everything that they want. See, and this is what I need to get across to the Trump supporters. You take somebody like Donald Trump. Oh, well, he's not a career politician. He's independently wealthy. They don't have a way to bribe him and all those rest of the stuff. Well, think again. He's somebody who loves money. He can never have enough of it, therefore. But he positions himself as an anti-globalist. Johnson positions himself as a conservative. And, of course, he had a record of opposing these wars before. Immediately flips on all this. They go out and they find people who are going to present one image in public, and yet they're completely on board with Biden on increasing the IRS or whatever it is, the wars and all the rest of this stuff. And of course, Trump was with Johnson on this Ukraine stuff. He just came up with a clever deception. See, that's the purpose of Trump. Let's call it a loan instead of a gift. And maybe people will buy that. And Lindsey Graham loved that. We couldn't have done that without this idea of Trump saying it's going to be a loan. A loan. They're not ever going to pay that back. But getting back to this IRS thing. So they're going to grow the IRS, make it seven times bigger than it is now. They're going to hire 80,000 people. But that's not the worst of it. They're going to start using artificial intelligence. And now you got the IRS commissioner talking about this. You know, this is how you wind up owning nothing. You will own nothing. We're going to have AI going out there doing data mining and correlation and auditing and all the rest of this stuff. This is truly weaponized government. The income tax is truly about weaponizing government. There is absolutely no reason for doing this. It's always been about surveillance of the population. As I said before, you look at the effective tax rate they had in Europe, it was much higher. They used a value-added tax, a kind of a sales tax at each level where it changes hands, even through the wholesale chain, through the production chain and that type of thing. But they could do that, and they could do that without being intrusive, and people didn't notice it as much. In America, they had a much more painful way of collecting taxes. It created a lot more pushback. They wanted to have the intelligence and the ability to get people to self-incriminate so they could weaponize the tax collection system against people as a political weapon. And this is really going to be a big, big jump in that. The IRS commissioner offered a vision this week for how the tax collecting agency intends to use artificial intelligence in the not too distant future. So I guess you will be, we have, the IRS kind of set the tone for our imperial bureaucracy, unelected and unaccountable to anybody for anything. So the IRS creates rules You know, that's why Nancy Pelosi said about Obamacare, we got to pass it to find out what's in it. We pass this in general and then kick it over to the bureaucracy. They put in all the devilish details and we find out what's really in it. So the bureaucracy writes the rules, the details. They have people who accuse you and you have no presumption of innocence. You have no due process and you go to one of their courts. This is a procedure that was begun by the IRS, but now you got all these alphabet agencies using this. The FAA, all of them, you know, they hit people with a fine because they didn't wear a mask and they created a disturbance. So here's a $25,000 fine or something, right? What? $25,000 fine for not wearing a mask? Well, that's where these people are. So maybe now where we're going to go is maybe now when they write the laws and they accuse you, and then they take you to their court without a jury of your peers, and there is no presumption of innocence or protection against excessive fines. Now maybe you can also be accused by artificial intelligence. And maybe they can just kick this over to artificial intelligence and let it adjudicate this. Maybe it can be your judge. That's, I think, where this is going. Right now, I believe that there are AI solutions that we have not leveraged yet, said the IRS commissioner. They're going to leverage this against you. And again, why do we even continue an income tax when the deficit doesn't matter to the Democrats? The deficit doesn't matter to the Republican Congress. The deficit doesn't matter to Trump or to Biden. Nobody cares about the deficit. We have the modern monetary theory, which says deficits don't matter. And even if the deficits did matter, the income tax doesn't come close to, that's why we have such big deficits, because the income tax as it exists doesn't even come close to paying for it. So they don't care if the books balance. That's why we got another $1 trillion every 100 days being added to all this stuff, because they don't care if it all balances out. So even with the income tax there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't even come close. Why have that there? They have it there to control you. They have it there as a weapon. And so now they're going to use artificial intelligence to control you as a weapon with all of this as well. The IRS commissioner likened advanced AI tools to night vision goggles. Oh, we can see everything you're doing. We can see you in the dark. The IRS needs to unlock and to see and to spot the issues, he said. And of course, this is not for you and I. No, we don't have to worry about this. This is for the big guys. This is for the most complicated and largest taxpayers in the country. You know, like Pfizer, who doesn't pay any taxes. They pay none. The big guys that have the complicated tax returns, the reason they got the complicated tax returns is because they've paid these politicians to put in loopholes for them, and then they pay accountants to make sure that they've, you know, checked all the boxes to get all the loopholes. None of this stuff is about the big rich guys. How many times are Americans going to fall for that line? The income tax began with like a 1% tax on the 1% of the wealthy. Then eventually they make it about wages. And now the wealthy people and the big corporations aren't paying anything. Congress has taken note of the IRS's AI efforts of late because the IRS commissioner says, we're just really getting started with this. So they had House lawmakers introduced an act on March 20th called No AI Audits. Do you think that's going to pass? Is this another, they introduce good stuff all the time to try to control the growth of government, and it never passes, does it? So should you feel good about the fact that there's a couple of congressmen who realize that this is a real problem? No, they'll let the AI audits go through. With Congress at loggerheads over nearly every piece of legislation, it's unclear whether lawmakers could muster enough support to actually restrict the IRS's use of the emerging technology. There is no support for that. There's no support for pulling the government back from any encroachment on us any more than there is any support for having the IRS do something, the government do something about the border. Not a single dime. And I mean, that is the big thing. The dog that didn't bark that nobody's talking about. The fact that when the deficits don't matter, and they can spend anything they want to spend. why did they stop at $95 billion for all these wars everywhere? Why not take it over 100? Well, they didn't want to go. It's just the optics is all they're doing. Oh, if we do more than $100 billion, maybe that'll get people's attention. Maybe people wouldn't care. But, why did they come up with those numbers? Could be anything. And why in an election year would they not even give a dime to the big issue of their own voters. After all these years lying to Republican voters, saying we're going to be the ones to fix the border, and they never do. They didn't do it under Trump. They always lie about that. Why wouldn't they lie and, you know, throw some money out there? I mean, they didn't have to do anything with the border. They could have just, you know, let it go to graft and corruption to their friends. But they didn't even bother to even try. That tells you how dead these elections are. They don't even pretend. It's already a foregone conclusion as to what's going to happen. Charter school founders are accused of massive fraud. Oh, what a surprise. Anytime you got the government involved in handing out money, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to wind up with massive fraud. We're going to take a quick break.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at Lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Why not? Why not have some Christmas music right now? Well, we had a it's a live show. I pushed one button and the song that was behind it didn't fire. Push another one, and then both of us hit the same button at the same time, and somehow from not even on the board, a Christmas song comes up. Evidently, there's ghosts in the machine here. Ghost of Christmas past, I guess. Let's talk a little bit about families and schools. We got a Michigan college hosting a professor who is calling for, quote, defending democracy from its Christian enemies. I guess this is anti-Christian nationalism. Is this okay with mainstream media? I guess it is. I mean, you can, it's okay to purge Christians out of the public space and to have secularism installed there, but not the other way around. Muskegon Community College in Michigan recently hosted a professor, a left-leaning Christian ethicist who calls in his new book for, quote, defending democracy from Christians. Well, it was the Christian Reformation and things like that that actually gave us the principles that we have and these democracies and republics in the first place. But yeah, now we're the enemy. Now we're a negative world. Anything that Christians are now the enemies. People from, whether you're talking about college professors or you're talking about Bank of America or J.P. Morgan, or the Christians are the bad guys. They're hateful. We've got to get rid of them. Democratic positions on political matters in the era of former President Trump are what he's concerned about. January the 6th got him activated. He was prompted to write his latest book. He didn't care about the BLM riots a couple of months earlier than that. That wasn't something. He said what he saw with January the 6th that made him write the book, he said it examines right-wing Christian politics, focusing on places and times when reactionary Christians, very unhappy with the direction of modern culture, unsatisfied with the results of the democratic process, tip over into authoritarian politics. Unlike a situation where you have reactionary Marxists and racists, very unhappy with the direction of modern culture and unsatisfied with the results of the democratic process, decide to start burning down cities. One of those is good and one of those is not good. So he says he analyzes how Christians have discarded their commitment to democracy and bought into authoritarianism. Well, it seems to me like the left used to be, you know, the Berkeley left, and they were always talking about free speech, but now they've discarded that. Seems to me like they've bought into authoritarianism. But no, we're not going to pay attention to that. And again, the right is just as blind to their faults as the left is. We do have people around Trump who have bought into this authoritarianism, people like Flynn and others. But both parties bought into this authoritarianism on steroids. All this, my body, my choice. Well, again, that's been the motto of the abortionist when it wasn't their body. It was somebody else. Different blood type, many cases, always different DNA, half the time, a different gender. No, no, no. You can kill that person. But when it actually was your body, no, you're not going to have a choice about whether or not you wear a mask. You're not going to have a choice about whether or not you lock yourself up when you're not sick. You're not going to have a choice about getting a vaccine. It's not your choice about your body anymore. These same people, maniacal about that. So this professor in 2014 made headlines when he announced his flip-flop on same-sex marriage during a November speech at the Reformation Project Conference. He declared his shift to affirming LGBT relationships. And so, you know, he's coming from the left. He's got left bona fides. And a lot of this back and forth, a lot of this angst about Christian nationalism is just politics and religion. But we also need to understand that we got a lot of dangerous people, like the Reawakened Tour, like Michael Flynn and others like that, that are pushing this stuff. And you know, like I said, this, and it actually, Drudge had two links to a story that was talking about Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association in Vegas. Because unfortunately, what they decided to do was to go full Trump. Full Trump. Like, why would you bother to do that? You know, why can't you stay above the political fray? You should make this about the Constitution, not about a party. I think that was a big mistake. You know, they contacted me and said, would you like to come? Would you like for us to come on and promote the thing? And I said, sure. And then I looked at what they were doing. They had Flynn. They had Bannon. They had all the usual Trumpsters out there pushing their lies about the election, ignoring the fact that it was Trump who came up with the vote by mail thing. It's like, I'm not going to have anything to do with that stuff. And if they're going to go that route, I'm not going to have anything to do with them either. Melania Trump, by the way, is pushing at Mar-a-Lago yet another fundraiser for gay conservatives. This has become a regular thing for her and for Trump at Mar-a-Lago. After having mostly stayed away from her husband's campaign trail this cycle, she made a rare appearance at a political event Saturday night, speaking as a guest of honor at a fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago for the Log Cabin Republicans, the big conservative LGBT organization. Addressing conservatives and LGBT supporters, She said the money raised that night, more than $1 million, according to organizers, would go toward an effort to deploy resources to key swing states and educating voters about conservative LGBT causes. Rick Grinnell was there. Again, he seems like a competent person, but, you know, he is all about, he denigrates himself by making it about identity politics. I'm the first openly homosexual guy that was appointed as director of national intelligence, and Trump did it. Isn't that great? Just be about your office and your competence there. That was one of the things that Walter Williams, black economist, used to sub for Rush all the time, but I knew him outside of that. And he said he really hated the fact that people were appealing to the race stuff. He goes, let's talk about competence. He goes, I worked really hard to get this. A lot of people just assumed that I was put in this position, given an advance in this position because of my skin color. And he really hated to see that stuff. But here's a guy who just keeps saying, well, I was put in as a diversity hire by the Trump administration. Why don't you talk about your competence? Or is that an issue? I mean, were you really just put in because of your, were you really just a diversity hire? He's not a crazy person like, Dick Devine, Rachel Levine, right? That guy. Or Sam Brinton, that guy who's going around stealing ladies' suitcases and dressing up in what he finds in them. But even worse, hanging out with the Trevor Project, which is a pedophile grooming thing. Those are the kind of people that Biden has been putting out. Very clownish, crazy, insane people. Rick Grinnell looks very conservative. He ought to run on his competence. The announcement of Melania Trump's involvement with Log Cabin Republicans initiative comes after months of her staying away from the public spotlight. But now she's going to be launching a line of digital collectibles, a line of Christmas ornaments. See, that's why we did the Nutcracker Suite there, to talk about Melania's new products that's coming out. Can't get started Christmas shopping too early. And more recently, a Mother's Day-themed necklace for $245. There you go. The Trumps pay too much for everything, and they figure you're going to pay too much as well for everything. School failed to prevent an attack by a trans student who had a hit list of enemies. Despite some of these people warning the teacher, teachers didn't do anything about it. School board didn't do anything about it. Some Pennsylvania middle school student said she had warned school official last week in advance of a bloody attack by a trans identified student against one of the classmates. The response to which has sparked criticism from parents and community members. Emily, a student at Penbrook Middle School, was one of several people to speak about the attack during a Thursday school board meeting. She said she was seated at a nearby table last Wednesday when a 13-year-old trans student, who calls himself Melanie, began beating a 12-year-old girl with a metal Stanley cup. And I'm sure that Melanie is on a career path to get a high-ranking position in a future Democrat administration. Melanie reportedly had a hit list of people that he planned to attack. Emily was one of his targets. So she said, Emily said I'd warned the school staff about the hit list and learned that the student planned to attack her and this other girl who was assaulted during lunch, and that she should watch her back. So this trans guy actually has got his list. He shows it to him. He threatens him. She was terrified. She said she told the teacher about the concerns, but she claims the teacher responded, "Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen." Emily said to the school board meeting, "You could have stopped it. It was 5 hours from when I told you it was going to happen. I don't get how you could have stopped that and you didn't do it." The middle schooler said that the girl who was attacked didn't see it coming. Her back was to the trans student. She remembered hearing terrible loud bangs as the assailant hit the girl in the head with a metal cup. The student, known as Melanie, grabbed the girl by the hair and continued to beat her with the cup as blood went everywhere, Emily said. As he hit the girl with the cup, the boy repeatedly yelled, "I'm going to murder you." The middle school student added that the attack lasted 28 minutes. 28 minutes. The school board had claimed in an email that it lasted 8 minutes. I mean, that's bad enough. But to go on for a half hour? Where are the teachers? Where's the, they're supposedly got school security now? Got uniformed security guards. They let this go on for 28 minutes. She said, we had to sit there and watch them clean up her blood off the table and the ground. She became emotional during her testimony. And we had to watch them take her out with blood dripping down her face. I will never forget it. She says she's having nightmares about it, you know, staying up late at night. Well, when we look at the schools and we look at what a mess they have been turned into deliberately, they deliberately dumbed down the curriculum, as Charlotte Isaby said. They have deliberately created chaos and anarchy and bullying. Yeah, all this trans stuff and all this grooming of kids in elementary school, what's that supposed to be? Oh, well, we don't want to bully the trans. But hey, if the trans people or the furry people start bullying other people, they go in with these big mittens that look like claws and stuff, and they do have claws on them, and they use that to scratch the other kids and to threaten them with, you know, get on all fours and, you know, start running around and barking or mewing and things like that. It's insane. But our government, which is funding it, does nothing to stop any of it. And the cost of paying for the government schools just keeps going up and up and up and up. Here in Tennessee, it's been dear to the heart of the governor, Bill Lee, to have a school voucher program. Is that going to change anything, you think? As a matter of fact, if you had a school voucher program and you start to institute some things that would be conservative in nature in terms of discipline, or if you start to insert religion into it, oh, they're going to shut that down right away. I just don't understand why conservatives, and it is a broad-based blindness, just as all these people can't understand Trump's role as a globalist, pushing the 2020 lockdowns and the change of election rules and the vaccines and the medical death protocol and all the rest of the stuff that he did, universal basic income, all that corruption. People, they can't understand that. Well, he didn't order it. It was just the bad Democrat governors. Well, it's always through the money, isn't it? Money is the means of control. And I've had this argument with people, again, going back to the 1990s, you know, when we were getting started with homeschooling. We'd get into these homeschool groups and all the homeschool parents. Well, we got to get our kids into sports and band and all the rest of this stuff. Those are all good things. But do you really want to have the control that comes with that money? Do you understand that that's how they lure you in the same way that the government gives all the federal government, the Department of Education gives all this money to schools, state and local. And then if you don't put the boys in the girls' bathroom, they start pulling the money. You get used to that money and then they pull those strings and they pull it away to get you to do what they want you to do. This is why I don't support the school voucher program. And I'm glad that it was defeated again. He's been pushing this. Governor Lee's been pushing this since 2019. And again, I think this is good because money means control. And we need to take control of our families and our children and not give that control to the government at any level. When will conservatives learn that lesson? And apparently some of the GOP at the state level have learned, or maybe they got other reasons. I mean, it appears that there might be some other reasons. It is listed the fact that a lot of rural GOP lawmakers were skeptical because they thought they might lose public school money from the state and their districts. I mean, do we really want to keep these schools going? They're no better in the rural areas. This kind of stuff can happen anywhere and everywhere. It's too bad that they don't understand what the real problem is. Universal school vouchers. That's what he's been pushing. Acknowledging that there was not a pathway for the bill after months of Republican infighting. He says, I'm extremely disappointed for the families who will have to wait yet another year for the freedom to choose the right education for their child. You don't have to wait. You can do it now. You can have freedom. You just understand that the money, you can have the freedom or you can have the money. Do you want to sell your kids out? Do you want to sell your heritage, your freedom for a bowl of porridge? Is that what you want? You know, you got the freedom right now to educate your kids however you wish, especially in Tennessee. You got freedom to homeschool. You know, Tennessee used to not have good homeschooling laws. That's why we didn't move here sooner. Oh, well, they do now, I think. I didn't look as closely because we don't have any kids. But Lee first unveiled his plans last fall to allow families to access public money for private schooling, regardless of income. At the same time, he was surrounded by national school choice advocates, the state's top Republican legislative leaders, and even Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who had signed a similar voucher law proposal just that year, and used the event to tout that a conservative education revolution was happening around the country. Well, anybody who thinks that this is a solution needs to check out Mark Hall's documentary, Killing Ed. He looked at a worst-case situation of the school vouchers. The schools of science and math is how they typically present themselves. There's a lot of schools that are part of the Fethullah Gulen chain. Now, Fethullah Gulen is a guy who challenged Erdogan and Turkey for power. Both of them wanted to establish, make Turkey more of a religious state. And they were allies at first, and they became arch rivals. Eventually, Erdogan ran Fethullah Gulen out. The CIA got him, and he lives in a compound in Pennsylvania. And Mark Hall did an excellent documentary talking about the allegations and even, I think, some convictions of corruption and misuse, bringing in people who were pushing that religion. They scrupulously try to pretend that they are secular because that's how they get money. But they're getting, it's a massive network, especially in Texas, and it's heavily supported by Republicans. Republicans supporting this guy who has about, before he added all these voucher schools in the United States, he's got about 1,000 schools that are religious madrasas in other places. So he has an Islamic sect that he is leader of. And the way he's using this is to get Turkish influence and things. It's one of the reasons why I did not support Dr. Oz, who is a Turkish citizen, served in the Turkish military, the guy who was endorsed by Trump in Pennsylvania. He said, well, I'll get rid of my Turkish citizenship if you elect me, so that I can get in some of these classified briefings. I don't trust his loyalty whatsoever. And I don't trust Fethullah Gulen and this, this organization allied with the CIA and the rest of this stuff. I mean, it's a very long story, but and there's been a lot of back and forth Mark Hall went through in terms of doing that, the threats and the surveillance that they threatened him with. But for me reporting on it, you know, they put as a byline my name and a story. They broke into InfoWars computers and put up an article in my name saying there had been a coup against Erdogan when there hadn't been. And all the rest of the stuff. I mean, these people, and they are getting about $1 billion a year to run these schools. And they're the worst case scenario. But you've also got some gigantic corporations. Do you want to have your kids educated by the government or by Bill Gates? You know, think about this. You want to educate your kids yourself. It's too important not to do that. By the way, the UN, big government does not want the family. Big government does not want a parent-child connection. And the UN is now denigrating stay-at-home moms, calling them victims of gender inequality. Well, there you go. I guess, you know, if we're going to talk about stereotypes, I guess I could come back with a stereotype. Well, go get your Chairman Mao pajama suit and go march in your gray Chairman Mao suit and go march like the beginning of that Super Bowl commercial for the Macintosh. Go march to the factory. That's what they want with everybody. A UN Commission on the Status of Women recently denigrated stay-at-home motherhood, calling a woman's devotion to her family unpaid care work. adding that mothers in general are victims of gender inequality. They then followed with a call for Marxist state-funded daycare. Well, that's what the schools are for most people. It's effectively that. What is, quote, unpaid care work, you might ask? Well, it's work done in the home without specific monetary payment. Most people would call that kind of work simply being alive, said one person. It could be called running your own castle. Yeah, you know, whenever you do something at home, you know, whether you're building a chicken coop or, you know, trying to prep to be independent, well, that's unpaid care work that you're doing at home, male or female. It could also be called running your own castle, but the forces that converged at the UN this spring call it an atrocity. Ellis writes, to be an unpaid care worker, especially if you're a woman, was seen as an affront to human decency. And because, on average, women worldwide do more labor in the home than men, people in UN circles call this gender equality, gender injustice, even gender-based violence. I'm not kidding, she said. I've heard these phrases repeated time and time in events sponsored by countries and organizations the world over. While there is such a thing as genuine gender-based violence, vacuuming the floor for free ain't it. Will freeing women from children make everybody rich and happy? Yeah, see, that's what they're telling you. You'll have no family. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy. That way, they say, the world can unite behind women and propel them out of the home into the workforce where they can enjoy true freedom and engage in, quote, socially productive work. That means you'll be doing what they want you to do. They understand the old adage that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And every authoritarian leader, going back to communists, to Nazis, all the way back to Plato even. You know, Plato envisioned three classes of citizens. You know, you got the ruling elite. You got the guardians who are going to keep everybody in line. And then you got the worker drones, that type of thing. He wanted to make sure that nobody even knew who their parents were. He wanted to make sure that everybody saw the state as their parent, the state as their family. And it has always been that way. You know, give me a child the first few years and they're mine for life. It's a saying. Everybody understands that. And the Bible, train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. They don't want that because they don't want the children trained up in that way. They want them as useful idiots for the state. Well, you know, this is a difficult time for a lot of people, I understand. We really would appreciate your support at The David Knight Show. There's a lot of different ways that you can support us if you'd like to. People leave tips on here, and I have one from Serge the Purge. Thank you very much on Rockfin. He says, thank you, David. I missed it when you posted it earlier, played the trailer. Yeah, just let me know, Serge, you know, where people can see. I know you're on Twitter. You got other places where people can watch it. Let me know, and I'll mention that. I appreciate the work you're doing. And if you'd like to leave tips there, we have the Zelle link. And I'm going to talk about some of the names when we come back. But again, I understand it's a difficult time. I've had some people who have been supporters talking about the difficult economic situation that they're in right now. And I would just say to them, remind myself of times when we've had difficult times in the past. And I saw this essay, and I just want to pass this on to you. Keep trusting the captain. And it was an excellent essay. Several years ago, my wife and I took a cruise. We've been on a few cruises over many years. We've been married, but this one was different. On this one, we ended up finding ourselves in the middle of a storm, and I'll never forget looking out one of the windows and seeing a water spout just a short distance from the ship. But more than just the sight of the storm outside the window, we could feel the storm raging inside. The ship was rocking back and forth. You could barely walk down the hallways of the ship without falling. He said, even when you would try to lay down to sleep, he said, it was difficult to stay in bed. The seas were violent. They were noisy. It was tumultuous, to say the least. He said, the seas were raging. The boat was rocking, but it was never stopping. It had not stopped our progress. In fact, The captain kept us on course. He kept us moving along in a timely manner, and soon we reached our destination. While I may not have been comfortable, I had to keep trusting the captain. And he says, you know, the seas of life can be raging due to the storm. It might be noisy. Those around us might be loud, but we have to trust the captain. He said, God can stop the storms in life, but even if he doesn't calm the storm, he is still the captain. He can keep you on course. He can guarantee that you reach your destination. He said, maybe you find yourself in the middle of a storm surrounded by raging seas today. He says, keep trusting the captain.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Links to where you can support us, you'll find all that at thedavidknightshow.com. Let's get back to the news for right now. We have, as we were talking about the trannies, we have Vanderbilt actually hosting the man himself, Rachel Levine, or Dick Devine, as I call him, actually coming to Tennessee. Vanderbilt hosting HHS Assistant Secretary for Hate, for help. And actually, there is a lot of hate that is directed out of there. Yeah. Rachel Levine to talk about transgender health policy. The pedo groomer himself, the child psychologist, who, whenever he is questioned about this, says, well, you know, it is a very, very complicated situation. You shouldn't be worrying about this. This was sent to me by a listener. And a listener in British Columbia, Canada, Dawson Creek, and said, I'm not sure what is causing this, but I thought you might find this interesting. And I did find it interesting. These are pictures, sent me four pictures of the shelves in the grocery store that are absolutely empty. Look at this. It's like, what is causing this? Again, this is British Columbia, Dawson Creek, says here, save on foods. Due to unforeseen supply chain challenges, we've not received some shipments that we're expecting. We're currently out of some key items, like everything. We are utilizing all available resources to resolve this and to restock our store within the items that you need as soon as possible. We sincerely apologize for any inconvenience and hardship, et cetera, But look at this. No produce. You know, this other one here, this is meat and cheese and things like that. Look at this. Everything absolutely empty. Truly is amazing. It just underscores how fragile our supply chain is. I mean, it could just be something like that. There's nobody talking about, what's going on. But, from the first time that I talked to Jack Lawson, and that's interesting, same last name, about civildefensemanual.com. You know, we're talking about supply chain. That's one of the reasons why you need to prep. It doesn't have to be something like World War III. It could be anything. Here you've got a situation in Dawson Creek. No news about that whatsoever as to what's causing it. But as he pointed out, every part of our supply chain is a vulnerability. And so, again, it's another reason for you to prepare. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about money. We actually got a volcano that is spewing gold dust.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Well, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit about finances, money, and debt to GDP ratios. There's an interesting chart showing how debt to GDP ratios have changed around the world since 2000. And this is on Zero Hedge. It says they've been going up since the 2008 financial crisis. By the way, that's when the fourth turning began. Strauss and Howe predicted that, early 90s. Sometime in the mid-2000s, there's going to be a global financial crisis, and that's going to begin the fourth turning. Always these fourth turnings, every four generations, institutions are questioned. There's always a massive economic unrest. Usually results in a big war, they said. And said, and this fourth turning will be finishing sometime around 2029, interestingly enough. Yeah, that's why they've got their 2030 time frame there. But they said it began in 2008 financial crisis. It accelerated significantly under the panic endemic crisis created by Trump and other leaders globally. So the debt GDP ratios, these are all taken from IMF. Pull up that chart, Travis, and let's take a look at the debt to GDP ratios that are there. They've got, if you look at what is happening, do you have the chart there? Well, we'll come back to that. There we go. If you look at that, Japan is way out ahead of everybody else. You go back to 2000, and they were already at 135%. Now they're at 252% debt to GDP ratio. Amazing. Singapore underneath them now at 168% debt to GDP ratio. We're number three. We went from 56% in 2000. Up to 127%. So, we're moving up pretty fast in UK, Greece. Some countries, interestingly enough, have actually gone in the other direction. They've actually reduced their debt to GDP ratio, but that's the exception to the rule. Our massive creation of debt is just one of the things that is happening in our country, though, of course. Hedge fund CIO said that's why I see the U.S. headed into a 1970s-style inflation. This is Eric Peters, CIO of One River Asset Management, not the Eric Peters auto, but another Eric Peters. And in it, he is talking about the fact that in the 1970s, he said, we made really big public investments. He said, well, I would argue that the ones that we made back then were good, but the trade-offs that we made, including big inflationary pressure, low real rates of returns on private investment, that all came back to bite us. And he specifically talks about the EPA that Richard Nixon created in 1970 with the first Earth Day. It was all about the environment at the time. I'm sick of it. I've been hearing this nonsense for 54 years now. I've about had enough. Anyway, so Nixon creates EPA. He says, yeah, and we're all the better for it. No, we're not. No, we are not. Anytime you do something like this that thumbs its nose at the Constitution, you're not better off for it. As a matter of fact, I thought it was always interesting, the fact that the Nixon people created the Committee to Reelect the President. The acronym for that was CREEP. I always thought that was very descriptive of the Nixon administration. But what you had with the EPA, an agency that was created unconstitutionally, you wound up with mission creep. And so now you've got an agency that was there to clean up pollution and big toxic waste sites and all the rest of the stuff. What is it doing now? Well, it's banning cars. It's banning energy. It's banning farms. It's banning everything. It's trying to destroy our infrastructure. It's trying to starve us, impoverish us, make us slaves. The EPA is at the center of all this. The EPA is not about cleaning up the environment, folks. The EPA is about sterilization, depopulation, destroying our energy and transportation infrastructure. The EPA is about sterilization, not cleaning up the environment. It is unconstitutional. It is a bureaucratic dictatorship. It's out there issuing orders. The EPA is where they're going to run this scam, coming from the World Economic Forum and Davos and the UN. They're going to run it through the EPA. And Nixon gave it to us. Good old conservative Republican. Yeah, right. So he says, that's where I see us headed into 1970s style inflation. 3-5% inflation, probably where we will settle in. It's probably good for investors who measure their returns in normal terms, but real returns will be lower looking forward, and inflation will continue to be tough for everyday people. Yeah, you look at the interest rates now for homes. You know, Karen and I got married in 1980. We were both working at the time, and so we after a few months, We got into a starter home, but the interest rate on it was a fixed 13%. And that wasn't where the interest rates stopped. And the rest of the country was basically, just having a really difficult time. Houston was a boom town because it was at the center of the oil industry. And that was because a lot of the inflation was based on oil and OPEC and energy and that type of thing. But we had our day of reckoning. 3 years later, you couldn't sell anything, everything. People just walking away from homes and things like that. It was horrible. Commercial real estate foreclosures are starting to see that now. Soaring to levels not seen in a decade. Foreclosures have grown 117% year over year. And it's starting to get really big. But as Gerald Slinty is pointing out, it's not going to just end with that. You got these people walking away. The banks are left holding it. And the banks that are into it the most are the medium and small banks, are the ones that they're not going to bail out. It's going to have massive repercussions for small and medium-sized banks and for all of our financial industry here. It's going to be big. It's going to be much bigger than the commercial real estate. A lot of people say, well, why can't we repurpose this into homes? As they point out, those wondering why you can't turn this into affordable housing, Goldman Sachs noted that the prices have to drop 50% for housing conversions to begin to make sense. And I guess that's because it's so expensive to try to re-upfit these commercial properties into something that is going to be useful for people to live in. They've got to get it down, 50%. You take a 50% loss on these massive investments, that's going to break these banks. Powell then has a crisis on his hand, the Federal Reserve chairman. The goal is to save the fireworks for after the election. That's right. That's when it's really going to get bad. It's going to be after the election. And so we see what has happened the last week or so is there was rumors about war and everybody was concerned that everything was going to escalate, that Israel was going to retaliate against the retaliation from Iran. Fortunately, neither, you know, the Iranian retaliation for the assassination of these generals at their embassy compound, Israel retaliation over the retaliation. Fortunately, neither of those retaliations really did anything. So they can both declare victory. It seems like that's what they're going to do is, have a little bit of a dust up, save face, and call it a day at this point in time. So that's a good thing. So the markets are breathing a sigh of relief. You know, I had Peter Schiff said, the gold market is not being driven by the concerns about war. It's being driven by basic fundamental concerns about inflation and the economy and other things like that. And I think largely he's right, but not totally right. You know, the price got up to like 2,400 and around that area. Now it had a big drop off yesterday, but I mean, still 2,330 or so. I looked at it yesterday, still up really high compared to where it was just a couple of months ago. And I thought it was interesting as everybody was really concerned about what was happening with the potential of war, that you saw not only the stock market go down, which is expected, but that Bitcoin went down as well. But gold went up, but is now still holding its own pretty much. But as Tony has said many times, silver is something that is amazingly and historically undervalued. It is since early March, precious metals have launched one of the sharpest rallies in decades. Gold surged by 16%, but silver by 26%. Big moves for something that is considered to be a safe, conservative, safe haven investment type of thing. And this article from Jesse Colombo, why a powerful silver bull market may be ahead. Might be a silver bullet, right? demand for silver grew by a solid 11% to a record in 2023 on the heels of a record year in 2022. Of course, silver is used quite a bit in these solar panels. Biden is going to be spending $7 billion on solar panels. I guess they're going to be building a few of them. And the Silver Institute predicts that there'll be a 9% increase in industrial demand for silver in 2024. And that's part of the structural deficit in silver. Since 2021, there's been a deficit in silver due to demand exceeding supply. Strong demand combined with tepid supply increase led to a deficit of 184 million ounces in 2023, expected to lead to an overall even worse deficit of 215 million in 2024. And so that comes on top of the fact that silver, the silver and gold ratio is way out of whack in terms of silver being extremely cheap compared to gold. A COMEX silver inventory fell by 27%. China's Shanghai Gold Exchange, this is where they do the paper silver and paper gold, that fell by an incredible 73%. So as we look at that, we have the strange thing, which I mentioned a couple of times already in the show. We have a volcano that is spewing out about $6,500 worth of gold every day, which works out to about $121 million a year is spewing out. The problem is it's a little bit hard to get to it. This Mount Erebus is the tallest active volcano on the continent of Antarctica. And as there's even though Antarctica has 100 volcanoes, only 8 or 9 of them are considered to be active, and only 3 have erupted in recent history. But this volcano has been erupting since 1972, and it's regularly pumping out powerful jets of gas and steam. Scientists have discovered that these gaseous emissions contain microscopic levels of metallic gold measuring no bigger than 20 micrometers each. And so they estimate that Mount Erebus spews out approximately 2.8 ounces of pure gold over the course of an average day, $6,500 a day, 1,000 ounces of gold per year. And so they said I'm sorry, that's that 121 million. I think that is cumulative that it has spit out since it's been erupting in 1972. So I guess it never slowed down. The gold particles, however, besides being in Antarctica, they are spewed out over a 1,000-kilometer radius. So good luck picking up all these microparticles that are in a 621-mile radius that's out there. But I think I know the guy who can do it. Remember this guy?
This is my land. You know, it's rich with gold. Gold! Gold and silver. Silver and gold. Wahoo! Nothing.
Yeah, well, that's, if anybody could find it, he could just throw that axe up and taste it. Did you notice that he had a pistol in his belt? Not like Woody with Toy Story. They took that gun away from him. That's what's happened to our country in just a couple of decades. You know, that was, the 1960s and then going to the 1990s. 30 years and the pistol disappears from the cartoon characters. Meanwhile, 15 state officials warn America about debanking of Christians. This is primarily coming through Bank of America. We really, I guess, should not be surprised about this since this is a kind of a pet project of the Clinton administration. Bank of America was the first one of the two big to fail banks created by them allowing a merger of the really big Bank of America headquartered in California with Nations Bank that was headquartered in North Carolina. They approved that. And now we're in a situation where they are out there actively debanking Christians. And I want to talk about that and the fact that we got 15 state officials in various states wrote a letter to them telling them to knock it off. So we'll get to that. But before we do, I don't want to run out of time here. On Rockfin, Dougalog, thank you very much for the tip. And James as well. And on Rumble, Midwestern Canadian, thank you very much. He says, I know I'm late and this is just a little, but let's fill up the gas tank, people. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, we are very low this month. And so I really would appreciate, if you can't afford to do it, you know, we put the show up without it being behind a paywall because I want to get the information out. But if you're able to support, we really would appreciate it. We are really down this month. Probably the worst we've ever, this is actually even worse than we got debanked by PayPal and Venmo, this month. So, I haven't really pushed it that hard. I'm not good at pushing commercials, but we're getting up against it here. So I'll put out the plea. If you can help us, please do. Let's talk a little bit about the debanking here before we run out of time. We've got about 3 minutes here. They have done this now with several different ministries and going back several different years, Bank of America has done it. Most recently, John Eastman, who was involved with the Trump campaign, they just kicked him off. But he's not that just happened last week. This letter was put together based on other stuff. When people are asked why their bank account is closed, they get vague answers if they get any answers at all. One of these was the Indigenous Advance Ministries. And Bank of America says, well, we don't want to serve your type, your business type. So after being confronted by an international media organization, the bank then claimed that it closed the accounts because the for-profit business engaged in debt collection. They don't collect debts. They are not for-profit, nor was the bank able to point to any policy that would prohibit those types of activities. What we're seeing here with Bank of America is the same thing that we saw in the UK with Nigel Farage and other people, caught red-handed, doing this stuff. They just come up with lies. This is being done for political purposes. The rationale was a ruse. Going back to 2020, the bank closed the account of Timothy II Project International, which trains pastors in more than 65 nations. In a letter to the group, the bank claimed that the closure was due to this missionary group operating, quote, a business type that we have chosen not to service. This, I'll remind you, is the same bank that voluntarily said they were not asked by the FBI, but they just gave the FBI the name of anybody that was anywhere around the Washington area on January the 6th that did any transactions through Bank of America. They gave that up. And then they also went back and looked through their database to see if any of those people had ever bought a gun using Bank of America accounts. What we're seeing here is the politicization, the weaponization of a corporate government fascism. And these big banks are number one part of it, and they've got something that's even bigger. We'll get into it tomorrow, but it's tied to a global net zero banking. Yeah. Have a good day.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.